Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
I was pouring in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's fine.
God damn it, man.
Oh, my God.
From the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
What's happening, everybody? It's The Session, a beautiful Monday night in downtown Concord. And I'm drinking a beautiful beer, and I'm sitting across from the beautiful Michael McDowell.
I'm here.
What's your middle name?
I don't know that beautiful today. Well, it's,
what's your middle name, Tacey?
It starts with a T. You can probably guess what it is.
It is not you.
My mother was quite insightful. Yeah. Or luscious. You'd probably be one, too.
Is it Teresa?
Yeah.
It is?
It's actually Terrence.
Is it really?
Yes. Terrence the White.
I wish that were the case.
Yeah.
I wish it were. I think of a phone call, Beverly.
Well,
like of
calls.
All people, right? Anyway, this is The Session, and we are here. It is just Tasty and I. It is the quintessential everyone's at Burning Man but us skeleton crew.
Yeah.
And nobody bothered to fill in their slots. Like, Warren just kind of bailed. So I was texting Nate today because I thought it'd be great. We have field work in from Berkeley, California here. And I was like, hey, man, are you coming to the show? And he's like, oh, dude, I didn't know about it until just right now. That sounds fun, but I have a bunch of crap to do. I can't get out of it. And I was like, motherfucker.
Damn, we have to get into like the Brewing Network page.
Right? He didn't know.
Because I mean, everybody that... Well, whatever.
He had no idea. So whatever. I blame Warren for not doing his due diligence and getting his shift covered. So he will be awarded 4 demerits and have to clean Beverly's house or something. It's Beth's birthday today, by the way.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Yes, one of our guests. It's his birthday.
Oh really?
Yeah, Alex.
Oh nice, man.
Yep.
How do you feel? How old are you, if we can, if we can ask you that, Beth?
I'm old.
You old? Are you feeling your age, however old it is?
Yes. I am 33 today.
33 today.
Yes.
Were you born during the day or at night?
I think I was born in the morning.
In the morning?
Yeah.
You don't know? I thought everybody knew.
I was born on Labor Day. I know that.
Yeah?
But I don't know what time.
Did your mom find that super ironic?
I don't know.
She was in labor on Labor Day?
Probably.
It's like, fuck, happily named. Well, that's cool. Happy birthday. Do anything interesting besides listening to two idiots talk about beer today?
Yes. 5.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And no.
No?
No.
Nothing.
I laid in bed a lot today. Came here, did a little work. I'm thinking I might do a little more drinking than normal.
Okay.
Possibly call my friend Uber for a ride home.
Oh.
He's a nice man.
your German
buddy.
Yeah, buddy Uber.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Well, you know, maybe it wasn't for
we'll
your
see.
Birthday, but maybe it was. We went to Journey. We got to go to Journey this weekend.
That was pretty great.
On Friday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Bev and Sam and Taryn and I went to Journey because our friend Steve works there. And he emailed us and he was like, hey, you guys want some tickets?
Very generous.
And everybody was gone. I texted you, Tasty. I did invite you. So don't think I didn't invite you. But you didn't ever respond to
I don't remember getting a text.
Yeah, I texted you.
I might have been at another concert at the time.
Probably. Probably. So, we went up to a place called Wheatland.
Wheatland.
Which, oh, yeah.
Look, I've lived in California my entire life.
Yuba City. That's a long ways away.
Yuba City,
I would have said no thanks, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I figured. I almost did. I've never heard of neither Yuba City nor Wheatland.
It used to be called Marysville.
Never heard of it. Never cared.
The amphitheater used to be in Marysville, and then they, they separated some things and created a new town, and now it's Wheatland.
Really?
It has been for, like, the last, I would say, 7 years.
Huh. Well, it was a cool show.
It was a long drive.
The Doobie Brothers opened up for Journey, which was kind of cool. Sans Michael McDonald.
I guess all the state fairs are over, huh?
All the state fairs are over. They're on that last leg of the last leg tour. I think that's what they should call it. But we're driving up, and Taryn's like, "Oh my God, the Doobie Brothers are playing!" And I'm like, Michael McDonald. You have to have Michael McDonald, right, with the Doobie. No, he wasn't there. So I'm, like, getting all the Michael McDonald songs, sure, if that makes sense, in my head, you know? What a fool believe.
But I don't think that was the Doobie Brothers. I think that was his solo career.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, because, like, once I hear the big Michael McD, it's just like Mike McDowell, right? Once I hear that, I think Tasty. Once I hear Michael McDonald, once I hear Doobie Brothers, I think Michael McDonald. Then every song Michael McDonald has ever graced. Even that Christopher Cross nonsense that he did. Anyway, super disappointment. Wasn't there.
The keyboardist who was taking Michael McDonald's place was amazing.
Yeah, he was the guy from Little Feet?
I don't know.
Tiny Feet.
No,
whatever.
Little Feet. Yeah.
Little Feet, yeah. He was rad.
He was an amazing piano player.
Yeah. Hmm. He was really good, man.
Wow. You know who else is good? Our great sponsors, More Beer.
Yes, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Home run. From the home run kid. But I do want to talk to you about Arnel Padilla.
Hold on a minute. Before you get into Apnel Padilla?
Yeah.
Pineda?
Pineda.
I don't know.
Panera, I think. He owns
You know how we've been talking about
chain.
The beer bug a little bit here and there?
Yeah.
Today, the beer bug is the More Beer deal of the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just
wow. If you guys want a beer bug, dude.
Thought I'd throw that out.
Snap
there.
That up on the More Beer deal of the day.
They're pretty cool.
Morebeer.com. They're great. Yeah. I love mine. Yeah. No, so, you know, in all seriousness, Arnel, I'm going to use his name now because I feel like we're friends. We hung out. We did some blow. It's cool. I'm just kidding. That fool jumped around and sung his little ass off.
Let me also say that Arnel and I share a birthday, and that little delightful man turns 49 today.
He did not look 49, dude.
He looked 31
super,
at
that,
best.
Dude. Yeah, for sure. At the worst. At his oldest.
True.
He looked 31. But it was cool, man, because he was like, a fan seeing his favorite band play, and he was kind of like singing, but he would like gesture to the band and kind of like point into the crowd with the microphone and, you know, kind of like look at people and make eye contact and really engage with the crowd. And it was kind of cool because he wasn't like a front man. He was just like it's like if you got up on like with Brad Paisley, well, you'd be like pointing at the crowd like, oh my God, look at this. Oh, what do we have here?
Oh my God, this is not happening.
Oh, we have a cake. Taryn is here with a cake. Should we sing happy birthday?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Happy birthday to you. Why am I the one singing? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Beverly. Happy birthday to you. Yay!
Okay, so... is this nachos?
They're tachos.
They're tachos. I have a tacho cake and a can of wine.
That's pretty
wild. Yes. Best birthday ever. Oh yeah.
Like
listen to that thing crack. Tachos.
Oh, you're the sweetest.
Thank you. How sweet. Thanks, Taryn.
Yeah, that's very nice, Taryn.
I wrote on there with
No one can hear you because you're not on a microphone. So, okay, no, you wrote on there with sour cream.
Happy birthday, Beth. Okay. It says happy birthday, Beth, and sour cream.
Very important, message to break in. Why do you have tachos? Why are you about to cry about tachos?
Because I just learned what tachos were, which, if anybody doesn't know, they're tater tot nachos. Oh. And I'm so happy and excited to eat them.
Oh, cool.
I brought little things.
Thank you.
Oh, very nice. And you got a can of wine, which is actually, it's Underwood. It's a Pinot. It's actually really good. Canned wine. Who would have thought? This is probably like the way people talked about canned beer versus a bottled beer. Like canned beer.
Some time ago.
Come on. Who's ever going to? But now it's just all the rage.
Canned beer, canned wine had never been known for bad wine yet. I mean,
right.
Bad beer we equate to cans.
Yeah.
So you don't have to get over that hump.
That's true. How is it, Bev? Good?
It's all good.
This is probably like the most attention we've paid to any staff birthday on the show.
It literally is. I was expecting nothing.
Yeah. Well, you almost got it.
Well, Taryn came through. Thanks, Taryn.
Yeah, thank you, Taryn. You did great.
Thanks for thinking outside the box.
Yes, Taryn, good job. And then also thank you, of course, to our friend Steve for getting us tickets to Journey.
Thank you, Steve.
Taryn and I also went to Dave Matthews. It was like the week of concerts for me. It was pretty cool. We took Terrence finally to his first Dave Matthews concert. Tasty was there backstage with us at the Greek Theater in Berkeley.
You guys made Terrence's life.
I think he did. He was tearing up.
Yeah.
Which is
I did too, actually. It was pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it was a good show, man. Those people, you talk about two bands who know how to play their asses off, man. Mm-hmm. Journey and Dave Matthews. I don't care. You know, and Terrence hates Journey. Hates him. Hates him. Can't stand him. And I don't know why. How do you hate Journey? How do you hate something so pure? No, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, we do have a good show for you today. Like I said, we have the fellas from Field Work out in Berkeley coming in to talk about beer, man. Good beer in Berkeley. They're expanding.
Brewery.
Interesting brewery. Yeah. You're good friends with them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know them really well because they're close, right? They're local.
You basically
make good beer. If they make good beer, you're going to find me there a lot.
Well,
and
I'm
a fan.
You take everybody there, right? Like, everybody who comes into town, I see you all the time. We're going to Field Work.
It's on the tour, yeah.
It's on the tour. Are they sponsoring your tour? Your tour company?
They sponsor me. They don't sponsor anybody else.
Are you going to do you should do a tour company.
A
tour guide. You'd be a beer tour guide.
I do. When people come into town, I give them, like, the five-stop treatment.
Is that your limit?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember a time in the Bay Area when if you had two stops, you were doing pretty well?
Yeah.
I think we're getting spoiled.
Well, places
here,
are getting closer together. I mean, I like that about this area we're in now. There's more and more options.
I love it.
I'm sure that's true every part of the country. People are finding craft beer faucets where they didn't see them before.
Yeah, man. I wrote this article for the Drake's 27th anniversary party that was like two weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah, it was a nice job. I saw that. I didn't know I wrote it.
Thank you. Yeah. And it got me thinking, like, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, there was nothing. I mean, Drake's was there, but after a while, for a brewery being around so long, you kind of take it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't really think about it when you start talking about the influx of new breweries and new breweries and new breweries. But if you analyze your conversation about which breweries you're talking about in that section of here's the up-and-coming breweries, it's always Drake's has a beer in there somewhere for you to check out, which is great because not only do we have kind of a rock like Drake's in the Bay Area, but it's bringing in all of these other great breweries like Fieldwork, too.
They're instrumental, like, you know, like you're saying, going back when beer maybe wasn't as good. They were, you know, they were leading the edges, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of making good beer in the area. And then that's what we were all calibrating to.
Yeah.
Everybody else had to raise the bar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, here we go. Support people who support us. We literally wouldn't be here without everybody who you're going to hear on the show, such as More Beer, as Tasty said, who brings you this show each week. So please order some stuff from those guys. It goes a long way. You can also support us by doing your Amazon shopping via our link that's on our homepage, as well as hitting up the store and buying some hella sick merchandise and maybe light it on fire if you don't need it. But, you know, we need the cash, so do whatever you want. Our friends up at Wild Beer Company in Norway, bet you guys didn't think we had any friends in Norway, but we do. They are holding their third annual beer fest called the What's Brewing Fest from October 20th to the 23rd, and Justin will actually be up there. Shocker, Justin will be traveling. This just in the non-shocked news category.
It's part of his being gone forever.
It's part of his being gone forever shtick. So here's the current brewery list, which is seems pretty cool. All In Brewing from Sweden, Ale Song from the Americas here, Alpha State in England, Austman from Norway, which I think we talked to. Maybe I wasn't there for that. Beavertown, of course, our friends over Beavertown in England. Brasserie Dunman in Canada. Swedish Brewery, I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Brew by Numbers in England. Boneyard Beer in, out in Bend. Brewdog will be there. Brewski, another Swedish brewery. A Belgian place called Brussels Beer Project. Burning Sky in England. Buxton Brewery in England. A lot of places. England, Italy, Spain, the Netherlands, all sorts of places. Are going to have a bunch of Michelin will be there, Magic Rock. I mean, all these kind of places, man. So check them out if you guys want to go. It's whatsbrewing.no. NO stands for Norway, of course. Anyway, check it out. It should be pretty cool, man. And Jay's going to be up there and bring us all the information on that. I like it. Okay, let's do some feedback, Tasty. Feedback today is brought to you by the Beer Law Center. Head up John at thebeerlawcenter.com if you are applying for a trademark or need any sort of help filling out your TTB paperwork or anything like that. Any questions on the legal side of beer, hit him up, John at beerlawcenter.com. He's a good dude. He works hard for you, and he works hard for the money. Okay, here's the one from James. He says, Dear Justin, Muse sucks. They used to be awesome, but the guy sucks balls now. Your taste in music is terrible. Fuck you. JP is cool except for his homoerotic Disney obsession. I don't know what's homo or erotic about liking Disney. Look, I mean, first of all, it's Disneyland. It's not just Disney. So, you know, get it right, James. Anyway, this next one is from Ben. He says, tell Nicole Ernie we forgive her and ask that she comes back on the show under one condition. She is not allowed to say the word bressy. Ranch is okay, but only if it's in the context of salad dressing. Apparently he doesn't really like ranch on his pizza. 7 weeks off. Wow, Justin, he says. JP and Bebo, you should make the BN do a show from Disney so it can be a write-off for you and yours. I think that would be great. I think it'd be amazing. He says, I like how active Tasty has been on the show lately. It makes the guest brewers sit up and pay attention. I agree. Tasty has been in the mix the last few months.
Slapping him around, yes.
He says, please.
If you don't give me the recipe, I get pissed off.
You start throwing shit, man. He says, please schedule a whole segment for a Burning Man report. I'd like to hear it since I want to go, but probably never will. I mean, look, you know Jay will crowbar that in somehow, but... I wouldn't hold your breath too much. He says, on professionalism, whatever, I don't care. Another show idea, get an anonymous medical doctor on to tell us how to drink better. Seriously, I realize it could be a downer of a show, but hearing a doctor who can't pull your driver's license give advice on if you're going to do it, here are some hard medical facts. That was three sentences. I don't understand, Ben, but I appreciate the effort. What do you think of that?
Well, Doc, you know, Doc could do this. He knows... That and all the other other options of getting high.
That's true. That's true. Alex says, hello. I just wanted to pass on that I heard Paul on the Brewing Network's This Session. Thanks. So this is Paul from Ale Apothecary we had on a couple weeks ago. Cool interview. Nice guy. Mm-hmm. He says, thanks so much for taking the time to do the interview. It was a great one, and I learned a lot about the brewery. I'm looking forward to the next interview you do with them. It was awesome stuff. I'd like to see, and he's talking to Paul here as well. He goes, I'd like to see you on the shelves here in Denver, but always pass by. No, I've seen you on the shelves, but I've always passed you by. I wasn't sure how truthful the back to nature vibe was, and honestly, we were spoiled for choice here in Colorado. I'll definitely be picking up some bottles next time I see your beers. Keep up the good work. Cheers, he says, Alex, who apparently is an aquarist and a zookeeper at the Denver Zoo.
Wow. Nice.
We have fans that do weird shit.
Well, we have weird fans. That's right.
Yeah, we have weird fans, man.
That's 0 degrees of separation.
That's true. I would never think we had a connection at the Denver Zoo, but apparently we do.
We do everywhere. You know, there's people on sound cruising bands. And
yeah, all sorts of crap. Stuff, yeah. Some cat contacted me a couple years ago. He's like, yeah, I work at NASA in Houston. So if you're ever in Houston and you want to look at some shit that goes up in space, let me know. I'm like, I love this invite, but I don't ever see myself being in Houston.
Well, whatever. Yeah.
I appreciate it, though. Okay, and then I think this is our last one. He says, this is from Proceed. He says, Dear Brewcasters, having listened to your podcasts for years and learning so much, after 20-plus years of homebrewing, my wife and I are going to be going pro. The decision to take a chance was in large part based on what was gleaned from you all and all of your guests that have been on over the years. As a current random donor to the BN Army, we pledge to become regular donors as soon as our TTB paperwork is approved. We encourage other pros to give a bit back. We can't be the only people stepping in from the homebrew side to the pro side. That's true, Proceed. You are definitely not, the only homebrewers going pro, I'll tell you that. To your listeners, he says, we use John from BeerLawCenter.com. Look at that. He's gone above and beyond what we expected, and we highly recommend him. Lastly, since it seems that the BN never gets a scoop, we also pledge to make any and all announcement to the BN and its listeners first. Hear, hear. Look at you. And he says, not for public disclosure. So I can't read it. Long-time listeners, apparently, is what he says. And then this last one says, the Chechnya bit is funny. Why do you keep doing it in Lithuanian accents? I don't know. That's a good question, my friend. I don't really know why anything happens here.
The language tapes were mixed up or something.
That's right. You know, look, they're so close together. What are you going to do, right? Let's talk about the Twitter game, which apparently is brought to you, I don't know, by nobody. We don't have a sponsor for it yet. Ears Up Podcast. Go to earsuppodcast.com. Merge your love of Disney with your lack of engaging podcasts. Anyway, so this Twitter game is pretty cool. I'm pretty stoked about it because our friends at Craft a Brew are giving away a catalyst. Remember that we talked about that a couple times, the catalyst, a plastic fermenter.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
a conical
yeah.
that has a 3-inch butterfly valve on the bottom that can drain out into the mason jar.
Yeah, the full-size mason jar. Okay.
Full-size mason jar, man, with the lid that pops right up. Anyway, the winner of the Twitter game tonight will receive that.
Nice.
Instead of... What do we normally send? Like some sort of BN swag, a T-shirt, a BN T-shirt, or whatever. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants the catalyst. So the Twitter game is you fill in the blank, Tasty. Fill in the blank, and the blank says the Brewing Network. More like there's your blank. Fill the blank in.
Canned ham.
More like canned ham.
Yeah. See.
Yeah. The Brewing Network. More like what? Wine in a can. Okay. Bev's already drunk and high on tacos.
Because it's in a can doesn't mean you got to shoot it.
Yeah, it's
still white.
It's already gone.
Oh, I shotgunned it. Yeah. Was I not supposed to?
No, you were supposed
that's
to.
That's beer.
Yeah. Now we're going to race around the parking lot later.
Cool.
Okay.
Get that Uber number ready.
Yeah, for sure, man. We really need a breathalyzer. I've contacted a few breathalyzer places before for being sponsors.
We have a ton of people that should hear about breathalyzers.
Yeah, and nobody...
They don't advertise, I guess.
No, they don't, man. And nobody ever gets back to
me
about it. I don't see anybody carrying one anywhere at all, ever.
Yeah.
Maybe like in a bar, like in a trash bar. Yeah. You have like a bunch of straws next, like that old breathalyzer. You throw a straw in the thing and breathe through it.
Yeah.
The problem with the breathalyzer in a bar, though, is you got to wait 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
After you take your last drink. And who wants to wait in a bar for 20 minutes without drinking?
Well, okay.
I think that's the problem.
That's the hard part.
Right, that's the problem that you're not going to cure by having a mounted breathalyzer in your bar.
No, it should be mounted in your car and hooked into the ignition system.
Yeah.
Which they, in some, like in California, in three counties, they have that. If you have get a DUI,
yeah.
you have to put one of those installed in your car.
Oh, man.
In order for you to drive after you've been without a license for a while.
Dude,
yeah.
that's hardcore. And then there are people who still fail that. You got a problem.
Yeah.
That's a.
Oh yeah, if you come up with a positive, they get the data. They know that it's not like you can go get drunk and then I'll just wait in the car until I can get the car to start. They know you've been out drinking.
Yeah.
If you have more than one DUI over a certain period of time in California, you get them. And if you're under 21 and get a DUI, you also get one.
Really?
I have some shitty friends.
Yeah. They sound like great fun though.
Yeah.
Go ahead, DC. We're gonna.
That's all right. Never mind. That's too much about that anyway. Hey, speaking of what we haven't talked about, we talked about the California Craft Beer Summit this weekend coming up.
No, not the show.
We should just mention that.
Okay,
it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's got seminar threads for people, obviously in the industry, but there's a homebrew thread as well.
That's right.
And there'll be people that we know speaking. I think Alex, who's going to be a guest tonight, might be speaking. I believe he is. And then Jamil's also giving a talk on. I think perfecting your homebrew or something like that, or something like that. Pretty
okay.
good. Yeah.
That sounds cool. And you're going to be there too.
And the tickets are on sale now.
Yeah, you can buy them right now. I think it's CA Brewer Summit. I forget what it is.
Google now. California Craft Beer Summit. Yeah, and you'll it'll be right there.
And you're going to be there, or are you?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Be there.
I think
I'm supposed to
checking
be there.
On that.
Okay. Saturday.
I was
for the
last
fest,
year, but then
I
get there, I didn't have a pass. So I sent my hand out and Kevin on my pass. Kevin, who's this Kevin ass?
Yeah, apparently that's you. You look like a Kevin more than a Mike.
Well, then I figured out when a guy named Kevin handed it to me.
No.
Yeah.
It's like we're gonna ID swap. Yeah. All right, everybody, listen, we're going to take a break, and then we come back. We're going to talk to the handsome guys at Fieldwork, talk about beer, talk about Berkeley, talk about those two things combined and what's next for everything at Fieldwork. And then, yeah, that's going to be it, really. We're going to come back and do, you know, I had some beer news about whatever. We're going to finish Twitter game. It's going to be kind of a short show, but it's going to be fun. I tell you, it's the session, everyone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer?
They make beer. Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
For more than 20 years, White Labs has collected yeast strains from around the world and kept them locked away. Until now. Through the Yeast Vault, they are now releasing new, creative, and unique strains. Most have never been used in commercial products. Some have names you can barely pronounce. And all are uniquely White Labs in quality and performance. Now they're giving you the opportunity to unlock the vault. Here's how it works. Pick the yeast you want from the vault. As soon as 500 people have chosen that yeast, your card will be charged and your yeast will go into production. A short time later, a fresh White Labs Pure Pitch package will show up at your door, ready to make the beer you've always wanted to brew. For the first time, White Labs is letting you into their secret yeast vault, unlocking access to hundreds of strains never available before. Join the White Labs Customer Club for first access to the vault. Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff, Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brandon Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Whatever.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us, everybody. Before we get to our fine guests, I do want to tell you guys about Great Fermentations. These folks are pretty awesome, man. They have the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web. They provide same-day shipping on some of main items that most places can take up to 3 weeks to get to you. And look, if you're brewing, you need your shit, and you need it now. So, you know, what's up with this 3 weeks bullcrap? Their staff is some of the best trained in using Blickman products, and they offer top-notch customer service, which, again, it's pretty hard to find. Be sure to like them on Facebook at GR8 Fermentation to be notified of more deals. They can be found on Instagram and Twitter at the same handle. So check them out, greatfermentations.com. All right, we got a full studio finally. I feel like the whole crew is back, but it's really just populated by the field work guys. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. Super. Awesome.
All right. Pretty good. Pretty good. All right. We have Mark here, and we have Barry, and we have Jason, and we have Alex. This is like the most four basic names in the entire universe. And then we have Mike.
We have a Mike.
Yeah.
I thought, wait a minute.
Thanks for coming in, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So, thanks for having us.
Of course, man. Yeah, Tasty's been talking about you guys. Actually, Tasty was the first person.
We're always drinking the beer during the shows. That's how we talk about them the most.
For sure, yeah. But the first time I had heard about field work was from Tasty. Huh. He's like your guys' cheerleader.
He's a fanboy.
I'm a fanboy, yeah.
I'm more like a leech. If the place makes good beer, I just hang around until people think it's no good beer.
Until they think you should be there.
Got the cart before the horse.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, well, you know, being handsome doesn't hurt either, I'm sure.
It has some fringe benefits.
Sure serves me well.
Yeah. It's like, look, we just need some eye candy around, so invite that Tasty guy back.
Invite that fat guy. That old fat guy. He's so hot.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, okay, Barry, you and Alex started the brewery.
Yes, sir.
Back in 2015, 2015, right?
Yes, sir.
That was right. But you said you've been planning it for a while. How long does it actually take to get a brewery up and running in the Bay Area, specifically?
Well, Alex and I met in San Diego, and at the time he was just starting to work for Ballast Point, and we were drinking some beers together and just thought about, you know, over the next number of years, how it'd be nice to build a business together. And then he went on to Modern Times. And then I called him up one day and I said, okay, it's go time. And he said, well, how about not? And then a day later, he was like, oh, okay, let's do this. And
why not? Were you apprehensive? You had a good gig at Modern Times?
Well, yeah.
You didn't want to leave?
I mean, It was definitely not an easy choice to make. But,
yeah.
And that's the other thing, is opening another brewery. So I was essentially employee number one or two or whatever you want to call it, Modern Times.
Yeah.
I knew how much it sucks to open a brewery. So I wasn't exactly excited about, yeah, let's go do this again.
So you'd seen it firsthand. You knew exactly what was going on, and it sucked.
It sucked doing it with somebody else's money. So the last thing I want to do is, oh, yeah, let me put a bunch of, you know, skin in the game and go through this all over again.
Yeah.
After we had just gotten over it with Modern Times. And and that's another thing I'll say. I'm lucky. I've worked for breweries that treat you really, really well. So I wasn't one of those brewers looking to just jump ship because I was unhappy or whatever. And Barry convinced me. I mean, he said, how much do we need? I gave him a number. He called me the next day and said, all right.
How much to get you up here doing your thing?
Well, to get the, essentially, how much would we need to open a brewery?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so I threw the number out there, and he said, all right. Next day, he said, we have it. I'm like, all right, well, shit.
Wow.
Let's do it.
Go. Barry, was he off? How on? How accurate was he, and how much money you guys needed?
He was actually pretty accurate. And,
yeah?
And you know, we vetted it a lot, and so we didn't miss by very much.
Okay.
We missed by a little bit, but we didn't.
You were under, though.
We weren't surprised.
Yeah. Because that happens, right? That's pretty much to be expected.
Well,
I don't know if anybody who's overfunded on a brewery.
I mean, you should always plan that it's going to cost you twice as much and take twice as long.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
Okay.
And we didn't miss by very much.
Okay.
And we opened, you know, pretty much within a couple of months of when we thought we would. And most of that was...
Wow.
We had everything done in the brewery in Berkeley and the tap room ready to go, but the worst part of that time was the work stoppage at the Port of Oakland, and you know, they held our tanks, you know, in at the port there for a month and a half.
Wow.
And we were all ready. I mean, we were plumb. Oh. We were all, and all we needed to do was get the tanks in and start making beer. And it was that was a long month and a half.
Jeez.
And but otherwise, you know, we hit our schedule, and we managed to open and do our first event at, you know, Beer Revolution and Beer Week that week, mm-hmm. and with our buddies at Altamont and Boneyard and Faction. And, you know, it was the weight that was off our shoulders at that time. It was amazing.
Wow.
Well, and the reality is, if we hadn't had that month and a half delay, it would have been one of the fastest openings of a brewery. I mean, we got
It already was one of the fastest openings.
Yeah. I mean, we had the best general contractor you could have ever asked for. Tom Harley was like, I mean, we have St. Thomas that we release all the time because this guy was a godsend to us.
Really?
And then also the city of Berkeley was incredible with us. They worked with us hand in hand, and they were amazing. So we blew through the opening process.
We talk to tons of breweries all the time, and the one thing we hear everybody has in common is that opening sucks, you never have the money that you need, and you're never going to be open when you think you're going to be open. Yeah. But it sounds like within, you know, a small degree of tolerance, that wasn't really, you guys were kind of just handed everything, but you know what I mean? You planned really well and things fell into place, which is definitely not the norm, I think, for any business in California, much less a brewery.
Well, no, we understood the process.
Yeah.
You know, certainly for the city of Berkeley, we knew what we had to do. We knew what the zoning was. We knew who we had to talk to. We knew how to expedite that. And that all, you know, we took a 6-month process that happens in Berkeley to get a use permit, mm-hmm. and it was 2 months for us.
Okay.
And it all comes down to just thinking it all through and, you know, being obsessive about it. And we were, and, you know, we signed the lease in March of 2014 and, you know, we opened less than a year later.
I love it.
So it was great. Yeah.
So your format is brewery tap room, at least the current format. How did that all go out? So you start making beer, and then obviously now you're also a retailer as well. How did that kick off?
Well, and everybody in the audience out there who is involved with the brewery probably understands the economics and the retail aspect of being able to sell beer directly to consumers, control the narrative about how you want your beer presented and how you want your beer served and how people are learning about your beer.
Right.
Tap rooms are
a great revenue generator and a great greater way to spread the word on your beer. Not all states have that ability. I think Oklahoma just got that passed, actually.
It'd be really tough for us to do this in probably 40 of the 50 states in the country.
Yeah.
You know, California is a really generous environment for craft breweries to be able to have retail tap rooms, and certainly we just opened a tap room in Sacramento, and we're about to open one in Napa, and a couple more beyond that. But there aren't very many places in the country where you could do that.
Well, yeah, and what he's referring to is in California, you can have up to six
duplicate licenses.
You don't have to. You're already licensed.
Yeah,
to open up six money-making retail outlets.
Yeah, you're printing money.
Well, hopefully they're money-making.
Right.
I know you got them down on writ.
Well, you know, I did want to talk about that, and might as well bring it up now, the two satellite locations, essentially. Was that kind of a plan from the beginning?
Yes.
Really?
That's cool. We went into it really purposeful that way because, I mean, the economics of craft beer, and again, the ability to talk directly to consumers about what it is you want them to know about your beer and how they perceive it,
mm-hmm.
and control the narrative. And we want to be in places where we think it's a sophisticated and engaged craft beer community and or places that are a little bit underserved.
You know, yeah.
Sacramento is very sophisticated, very engaged.
Totally.
Napa's a little underserved.
Yeah.
And it's about location for us. And so it was very well planned. And not well planned. I just mean
it was in the plan.
It was thought out.
It was planned.
Right.
So you planned it, but did the success of the initial tap room accelerate the plan?
Absolutely.
I see.
The Berkeley location.
Such a good location, man.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
You know,
I didn't really understand.
I think if
at
you
the
build
time.
It, they, I don't. I didn't either. When I first went there, like,
who the hell is going to come here and drink beer?
No, I was the same way.
Whole Foods customers.
Well, and Alex and I walked the building the first time. It was December of 2013. And we're like, this building is great. It's got everything we need. But is anybody going to come over here to West Berkeley and hang out?
Over there.
Yeah.
But, the busyness of that tap room has expedited the others. And... you know, that accelerated our business plan.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that that's kind of where we're going in craft beer in general, where if you're a brewery and you have the cash and you have the drive, you should be opening these satellite locations because the market's getting tighter and tighter? I mean, Lagunitas is doing it for sure. Stone is doing it. I mean, they're opening a joint in Napa as well.
Right around the corner from us.
Right around the corner, yeah. And do you feel that there's this point in the market where you have to kind of go for the gusto, or in 10 years it's not going to be, maybe you're not going to be able to?
Well, I think that to have a healthy, enduring company, mm-hmm. and beyond the fact that it's a brewery, I mean, we want to provide health care for our employees, and we pay 75% of our health insurance, and we want to do profit sharing, and we want to do all those things. And in a truly wholesale model where you're selling product to distributor or something, it'd be really difficult to do that. And so I guess my feeling is we want to build a company that's around for a long time.
Yeah.
And one way for us to do that is to control the channel for ourselves. And that is the combination of the retail tap rooms and the fact that we self-distribute our beer, and that every keg that we sell to bars and restaurants goes out on one of our trucks. And we're obsessive about that. And we want to be here 10 years from now. It's not it's not something that we're that we take lightly, and we have over 50 people that are dependent upon us now, and dependent upon us, Alex and I, making good decisions about our business.
And you don't have a distributor that you have to rely on to give you the attention and shelf space that you deserve,
right? And when Alex and I were talking about it early on, we were just adamant about being as much in control of our own destiny as we could. And I think that's, if I had to give one piece of advice, it is to just do as much as you can on your own and mm-hmm. be as much in control of your own destiny as possible.
Yeah. But to get back to what you said, I would argue it's not necessary for breweries to do it. It's actually... I see a lot of breweries going into already extremely competitive markets to open their tasting room. And to be honest, in my personal opinion, is damaging to yourself and your accounts. You're now all fighting over this same little neighborhood piece of pie. Oh, yeah. It makes more sense, I think, to do what we do, which is go and do, look for underserved areas mm-hmm. and provide them with beer. Not places where we're heavily competing with a lot of our accounts, not where we're heavily competing with a bunch of other breweries. And that's where growth in this industry is in the underserved markets, underserved cities, underserved neighborhoods.
Sure.
So I don't think it's just a simple, let's all go open up these tasting rooms. I think you got to do your due diligence before you do it, or you're going to be shuttering up your tasting room a lot sooner than you want to.
Yeah, you have to be smart about it.
Yeah.
And put yourself in a good area.
Exactly.
Well, and you have to make good beer.
Well, that's the key, and I think a lot of people don't necessarily know that. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. So let's talk about the first beer. Speaking of beer, we're drinking shower beer in our glass. Tell us about shower beer.
So I'll try and be quick about it.
How long is the story?
I'm really long-winded about everything I do in life. Like,
go
I don't
it,
shut
man.
Up. All right, so...
No, be yourself. Be you. People
I'm
love it.
I'm getting older. And it's harder to drink IPAs and sours now.
Yeah.
I love IPAs, but I feel like a lot of IPAs are just over-the-top bitter. Over-the-top hoppy, not in the sense of, hop character, but just generic, resiny, beat-up-your-palate character.
That, and dank.
Just,
resiny.
I'm you bite.
Where you get the hops in your esophagus, and to be honest, to me, that's not good balance. And I'm not arguing for the 90s balance to come back of you need tons of malt.
Yeah.
But I think there's a new school of balancing that can be done. I try and do in all of our hoppy beers. And this was for me, you know, it was summertime. It's hot. 90% of the beer I drink is Olympia, Bud Light, Red Stripe, and Modelo. That's almost all the beer I drink. Because at the end of the day, rarely can craft beer be drank while fishing or hiking. Craft beer is just not good for that most of the time. And so I wanted to make a beer that was essentially low in alcohol, so I could drink a lot of it, really refreshing, but gave me that kind of hop kick that, you know, give me the hop fix. So
at
the end of the day, I crave an IPA, but I don't necessarily want to drink one. So for me, it was, I want that big mosaic hoppy nose to kick through. The beer itself was just kind of our way to clone kind of like a craft Bud Light. And so it should smell awesome, like a great IPA, but then it should drink like a really just good lager. Like, not tons of hop flavor, not saturating your palate, not beating up your palate, not overly bitter, clean lager.
It's not super dry either, which a lot of, you know, session IPAs, I don't know if you qualify that as a session IPA or if that's what you're calling it.
Yeah, we're calling it a mosaic light lager. For all intents and purposes, it's a Bud Light clone. We just dry hop the shit out of it. So it has this big aroma, but then idea being that the hop flavor is not beating up your palate.
Yeah.
And there's still a good amount of body. So that's the one thing we did differ was because there was all the hop, you know, there is all that hop character, the nose, a little more body to it than your normal Bud Light would have. We even used the Czech Budvar, you know, lager yeast strain for it.
Okay.
So
I would not have guessed that that's a lager.
I don't know if that's an insult or not.
It's not an insult. It's not an insult. I looked at it as a not super dry session beer, but I guess I'm focusing more on the hops, which it sounds like is that's what you wanted in the first place.
Yeah.
Is to be hop dependent, and then everything else is kind of falling by the wayside. So you get the hop impact that, you know, you have a clean yeast and everything else is just kind of whatever you make of it.
Exactly. 100%. It should give you that hop fix, and then you should be able to, you know, again, it's for fishing. It's for what it's for. It's not for sitting at, well, no, please drink it while you're sitting at a craft beer bar. Drink as much as you can when you're at the hop grenade. It's supposed to be a beer that you can take with you anywhere and drink a lot of it because it's only 4.2%. You know, clean lager, but you still get all that hop nose. So we're playing with it a lot. So we have a few more of those kind of hoppy light lagers that aren't too aggressive coming out because, again, at the end of the day, it's what I want to drink, and I wish the beers I drink were better than they are, but at the end of the day, I do like just a clean, drinkable lager.
How can you get better than Olympia, though? I don't know.
That I will back you up on.
That's not
possible. That is not possible.
I've been drinking a lot of Modelo lately. I really like it. It's in my fridge.
I will throw this out there. I am going to take all the credit for this Modelo boom in the Bay Area right now. Because I have been repping Modelo so hard. For years, I blow them up on Twitter, ask them to do a collaboration. I know they never would. I think I asked them to acquire us. It's Modelo, man. I've been drinking Modelo Especial
before,
too. My whole thing is it has to be Modelo Especial in a can. And that's where I grew up drinking San Diego.
Yeah.
It's actually a well-made beer. It's a good
really
lager.
Good.
So,
yeah.
I'll keep repping Modelo, but it's not the water, though. That's the limit.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
I got to say, my favorite beer like that is Rainier. I don't know why. It's super good.
I was just up in Yakima last week and drank my weight in Rainier. And everybody at the beer bar, because Yakima's kind of
kind of small town.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
The bartenders were all giving me the weirdest looks because all I wanted to drink was Rainier. But at the end of the day, that's all I'm kind of into right now is just pilsners and lagers. And of course, I want more character and more aroma out of those beers. But I rarely enjoy the other side, which is overly bitter, overly, you know.
So how do you get those characters in a delicate beer like that without going over the top?
It's not that hard. You just don't.
You'd be surprised, man. Well, maybe you wouldn't.
Did you do anything to accentuate body in the beer?
Just a little. I think there was a little wheat. We put wheat in damn near everything we do. So
And you know, doing specials with the water, maybe to bring out
More on the chloride side.
Are you trying to hint to me what we should have done?
No, no.
Or are you trying to feed me?
I do know a lot about session beer.
Tasty's negging you right now.
Okay, see, I feel like Tasty's my uncle who is trying to like help me out and make me not sound stupid on the radio. But we went with our normal IPA water profile.
Fine.
We treat it the same. We just went much lower on gypsum so that we wouldn't get quite as much of a bite. And
then we did.
Yeah, and then. Really, the idea is that, I mean, there's just a very small bittering charge and then a small whirlpool charge, so you're not getting a ton of hop flavor because that's not the point of the beer.
And how many IBUs do you think it is? Just
six.
What'd you say?
Jason
six?
Yeah. Six?
Jason says six. I'd say it's probably around, I don't know.
Well, guess.
25?
Oh, I was going to say 17 to maybe 25 at the higher end.
Yeah.
It's pretty low. And the only thing hopside is Belma hops, which is a hop I love that nobody really uses.
That was just an early charge.
Yeah. Oh, no, the Belma's in the Whirlpool. That's it. It's literally a tiny bittering charge. Decent amount of Belma in the Whirlpool, and the rest is all dry hop. And it's just
a
huge, huge dry hop of Mosaic to give it that big nose. So
accentuate that hoppiness that you want to portray without all that aggressive bitterness.
Exactly. Or even the flavor. I mean,
the flavor of the hop.
I didn't want it to be about, it wasn't supposed to be about the hop flavor. It's supposed to be about how clean a lager can be.
Here's what I think we need. I think we need, it's about time we have some sort of measurement for flavor. Like IBUs, right? We have IBUs because more and more beers, we're getting tons of hop flavor. How do you measure, what's your hop flavor scale? Or whatever. You know what I mean?
And,
I don't know. I think it'd be nice to...
One for clarity, too. We'll get on that later.
Tasty's a tease, man.
We do have that scale.
What is it?
It's on a centrifuge. It's your turbidity meter.
Oh, I see.
We can run some kegs through a turbidity meter, and we'll...
No, that you can put it right on the...
we'll put it on blast.
You guys' beer descriptions are like 600 words, I think. You got room on there for the turbidity factor.
Right? Okay, we'll start adding
that. Be the first one doing that.
Alex is writing about those tasting notes at 2 a.m.
When can you see through it? Like, it'd be like a light of a certain intensity. And when you first see it, then that's what the turbidity level is or something. Like 2 watts or 3 watts.
2 watts?
I don't know. We need to measure. Because I was at Cellar Maker the other day, and I had two of their, classic hazy beers, which are both very good, at the Tiny Dankster. And I said, you got any clear beers? Like, if they'd had the, turbidity factor on the menu, I would have looked, I have the 1.5 turbidity, because that's almost clear.
I think we should create a new measurement scale, and we'll call them Tasties.
Tasty
beers. Oh, God.
So this is 9 Tasties,
you guys have to roll up the bed, doors to get him inside.
I'm going to save that for the weed side of the business. I think I got a bigger game to play there.
Yeah. You have a brand after all.
I would have a brand after all.
Well, let's talk about beer turbidity for a second. I mean, you guys have a couple beers that are hazy. What's the appropriate term? Cloudy?
Well,
hazy?
Fucking hazy?
I think that's one thing that irritates me more than anything, is that the term should be accurate of what the beer is. So a lot of people go like, oh, it's hazy. And you're like, no, bitch, that's turbid as fuck. Like, if it looks like somebody dropped some old yogurt in there, that's not hazy. That's disgusting. And then there's the ones that are hazy, and then there's clear, and it's a big spectrum. And at the end of the day, everyone's going to get it wrong, I'm sure. I find it futile. But
not to go too slow, but what's wrong with the turbid beers versus the hazy beers?
Nothing.
It's got more of the goodness in the hazy, right? No.
Well, I believe that means the more yeast means the juicier.
Well, no.
It's the juice factor.
Does yeast have any? It has nothing to do with hazy beers. That's more of a brewing flaw. That's a brewery flaw, right?
Well,
I mean, when I get a heady topper. And I decant it, and then I pour the rest out, and it's all full of junk.
Yeah.
Isn't it a fail? Isn't that yeast?
So are you trying to troll me into talking shit about other breweries?
No, no.
I'm trying to make sure, because that's...
I'm trolling you the whole time. So
Tasty, that's my job, to talk shit about other
my game.
All right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, in general,
let's not be brand specific. In general,
whatever.
So he feels more comfortable. But we're talking about Hedy Topper.
But you would feel a bit if you had a hazy beer that, the first 2 pints of it poured per day at a bar were just a bunch of yeast. That'd be a fail, right? Okay, you deliver them upside down because they're just fully.
Yeah, you know, right, here's the thing, though. I don't. That's not my game to talk about what people don't do.
What do you think?
I don't want to say anything's a fail, though, because that's not my business to say it's a fail. I'll tell you what I think a success is.
All right. That's what I want to know.
Which would be if you like the Hazer IPA, is being able to create a product that, again, yes, isn't pouring just slugs of yeast at first out of a keg. I prefer not to be able to taste the yeast. I'm hypersensitive to that kind of aspirin-y Tylenol flavor you do get in yeasty beers. So for me, I mean, I had one from a brewery I won't name 2 nights ago, and I poured it out, whereas I'm sure 90% of beer geeks online would have just, like, lost their beer boner for it. But I couldn't drink it because it just tasted like aspirin to me. So I think...
Well, when you had that beer from Society, how was it? Totally joking. I use them because they're nice guys. They're friends of ours. It's fine.
No, we're kidding.
But no, really, when you had their beer. Yeah. I don't know. That is the trend, I guess, now, is the beers with or without junk in them, I guess. Are you guys pro junk? Are you pro junk?
I'm pro what people like. Yeah. I mean, I don't see why you have to be. It weirds me out how people are so engaged in it, whether they hate it or they love it. I think both sides are weird.
I think
you should appreciate a beer for what it is.
See, I'm one of those weird
judge
dudes.
Every beer on its own.
I'm one of those weird dudes. I'm super against it.
Yeah,
but I think it's because. Like the ones that look like you poured orange juice into dirty dishwater, like that murky, like you went to the Delta and took a scoop of, well, here it is. Yeah. That I don't understand. I don't get it. And I know people are super into it, and they the flavors that come from it, they say are super amazing. And I guess why I bring it up is, do you think you can get those flavors without having a ton of murky whatever?
Well, I mean, I think the yeast becomes an ingredient, though, is the thing. I guess
that's the point.
Yeah, it creates, and don't get me wrong, like, I thought the whole yeasty IPA thing was pretty stupid to begin with, and then the more I started having them, and the more I started looking into it, I started appreciating it a little more, and really,
interesting.
Here's the reality. The yeasty IPA has been around for a long time, all right? There have been horrible brew pubs throughout this nation making yeasty, awful IPA forever. It's just that Hetty Topper, I believe, was the first one, as far as I know, that really got traction and got people enjoying it, and it just so happened to have that appearance. The appearance and the flavor profile, I don't think, are that mutually exclusive. And if you traveled the nation and tried every yeasty IPA, I still think 99 out of 100 would be terrible. But the reality is that some people are putting out really amazing, unfined, unfiltered, great hoppy beers that the yeast actually, and this is one thing, I mean, I hate to concede on this, but the yeast does add something to the mouthfeel that can't be replicated with grain. I just genuinely believe that myself. You can't replicate this mouthfeel that you're getting from some of this yeast. And
well, they're solid. They're of substance by nature, and they have a flavor. Which malts make their way all the way to the finish like that.
Do you guys do any of those beers?
Yeah.
What's your what's the engagement level on those? Are people super into it? I imagine they're very polarized.
Engagement level is no, but that's the thing, and that's why I actually think it's pretty cool right now is it's not polarizing from what I see. It is
really
people. I think people think it's this beer geek thing, and they're thinking, the beer geeks. No, dude, this is a thing. Like. I don't think there's any more beer geek.
New beer drinkers are coming in ordering these hazy beers.
And they know what they're getting, though, before they order it. They know what it means. This isn't like, I feel like, I mean, craft beer is mainstream culture now. It's a real thing. And Johnny down the street and Susie, they know it now.
I love those, two kids.
So we're talking about a new beer style. It's a new beer style, right?
Bear, you agree.
Right?
Well,
it's a new beer style.
What I agree about is that, the most amazing thing about what Alex and Jason and the rest of the brew crew are able to do is they can move among these different, I don't want to even call them styles, but
Tasty wants to call them styles.
I know Tasty wants to call them styles, but can move among these and make amazingly compelling beers. And I would love to see someone, sit with a tasting flight of our beers, being the clear and hazy with a blindfold, and get into the aromas, and not look at it as a visual hazy thing.
I would love to do that because I think that, and I don't have much of interaction with beers like that. I just don't. I don't typically drink IPAs, and so I'm kind of out of that category regardless. But I think that would be really important. Also, to, you know, have you ever like ran half of your batch through a centrifuge and clarified some and left the other hazy and noticed the difference?
But so that's one thing though, is we don't filter any beer. We don't, you know, so we don't centrifuge. We'd love to centrifuge.
I thought you had a centrifuge. Hey, I'm sorry. I totally assumed that you had one.
No, but if someone wants to send us a centrifuge, we will gladly accept it. Yeah. 1166 Sixth Street, Berkeley, California.
Done.
We'll send your Westphalia centrifuge to us.
We'll Patreon the account this whole thing, and we'll get you set up.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Well, see, that's why, you know, this beer.
Yeah, and that's a lager.
Yeah, the shower beer, dude. Like,
that's a lager
so
that's unfiltered. That's just...
Well, that's a lager. Okay. And
and temperature.
We have the...
but this is clear. This is Clear Skies IPA, right?
Clear Skies. Okay, yeah. And so how do you... Just time. Time and temp. You know, do you biofine or gelatin or anything?
Well, is that... Yeah, we biofine.
Okay.
So without doing much of anything, the beers want to come out clear.
Yeah.
So how do you make your hazy beers? What's your process there on the hot side?
Literally the hardest.
Just like you do, huh?
It is. It's so funny because
I really
think,
get out your fuck up.
No, but here, that's the thing, though, is...
That's where Jason comes in.
Yeah, but...
Right.
No, yeah.
That's why they pay me.
Right. Yeah. It's no. So I think that's what kind of bothers me, though, is a lot of brewers like to you know, talk shit. And they'll be like, oh, they're just breweries pushing beer faster. And they're doing this. They're doing this. Like, A, you should worry about your own brewery.
Yeah.
You know?
I like how that's A. That's my favorite.
It is.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
I would kill to have the luxury time to give a shit about what anybody else is doing. I just don't. So, really, yeah, worry about your own stuff. And then the reality is, like, it's actually, you need, like, to pull these off and to make them taste good. So I'm not talking about just in general every hazy IPA you see. I'm saying the good ones, the Trilliums, some of the Treehouses, the other ones.
Okay.
It's not easy to make these hazy beers taste great, not taste like aspirin, to get the right mouthfeel, to get the right aroma, all this stuff, and then to get it packaged and out and sold and everything before it starts its quick trip downhill. Because we all know, like, the shelf stability on those beers is going to be bad.
Right,
and
right.
That's okay, though, as long as you as a brewer getting it out to the public and sold really quick. But, no, it took us forever to dial in our cellar process to where we could get a beer to stay hazy. Again, not flock out in the keg gnarly and shoot slugs of yeast out on customers. Like, you know, you don't want to fill a growler of yeast and not know it. So, yeah, it's not this, oh, you're just being quick thing. No, it takes some
brewing
skills.
It's a brewing process. Yeah. You have to know exactly what you're doing.
And we had to reverse engineer everything. I mean, I take pride. I think we have amazing cellar techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And we take readings. We know, like... We send our beers out for testing. We know our DO levels are ridiculously low. We know our VDK readings on DAS are super, super low. Like, we've got great cellar technique. And it was hard as hell to re-engineer that and kind of throw certain aspects out the window to create these hazier IPAs. That was actually tricky.
Are you, like, unlearning
completely
shit that you
yes.
had to learn? You had
yes.
beaten into your skull from your times at other breweries and be
oh,
like...
Yeah.
This is counterintuitive to everything.
Completely. And so that's what took us a while to get them to be where they were, you know, where we want them to be. But at the same time, you know, I think we're all really happy with them. And
how do we do,
customers
I mean,
seem to like them.
If you want to share for our listeners, because we get more and more people writing in about these kind of beers.
Yeah.
How do we help them totally ruin their clear beers?
What if you find that works? Maybe we should take a break and then come back here. What do you think?
I think we're fine.
All right.
I think we're good.
So what do you do on the hot side?
I mean,
come up. What's the recipe like for a hazy beer?
Yeah.
All right. So it's about 30% wheat flour, and we throw that in the kettle.
No,
I know it.
You only need about 2%.
It is over.
The whole thing frustrates me a lot.
No.
I'm okay with sharing what we do. I just get frustrated with this whole debate about this sub style is just driven me nuts because there's also this faction of people who are just constantly like, oh, it's this. I'm sitting there going, oh, so every brewery in the Northeast is doing the same. Everybody uses 30% oats. And meanwhile, we can make a 30% oat beer crystal clear on our own. Like, so it's not these things. Yes, we use a lot of oats on those beers, We use a lot of raw grain in those beers. We also either don't fine or lightly fine them, depending on the beer. Well, I was talking about cold side biofining.
How about hot side?
Hot side fine, yeah. Okay. But cold side, you know, lessen the fining and or remove it completely. And we always uni tank them also now, so we don't transfer to bright tank. But yeah, it's just not finding them, and it depends on the yeast strain too, though.
So what do you do in terms of yeast strain? How do you is there a strain so that'll
accept? we have like six house strains. It's that's really many, annoying. It's so gnarly. Is it six?
Four.
You can actually talk Jason into the microphone,
four.
Jason. There you go.
Four.
All right.
That whole thing in front of your face.
Lager.
Could put you on a different show, but in the other room.
Four. There you go. So, but all of our hoppy beers are either Cal or California ale yeast, or their Vermont ale yeast. So we prefer to use yeast named after states. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So we bought the two. But yeah, the Vermont one, the Vermont strain is completely erratic. It will flock out on its own like crazy, or it will stay super turbid. There is no way to know what that thing is doing.
Huh. What? Would you strain in the beer then, or what do you do? Like, what? I mean, if you don't know can't predict the outcome, how do you brew? That's just weird.
What, are you saying? What does it matter if we know the outcome? If the outcome tastes good, though.
Well, you get that.
I was going to say, we don't do that.
I'm just saying, you know, we got to have like, some number of, like, this kind of beer on.
For consistency, I guess, right? Like, if you, under the same brand, if you want to put it out,
the next batch
might be a little different.
The other thing I always argue is I don't make consistent beer. I have no desire to make consistent beer.
That's true.
And that's one thing. A lot of brewers get upset about that.
Yeah, because that's such a shift, right? That, again, that's another shift about what we've learned, even as home brewers.
Yeah.
Like, the key to being a successful home brewer, which whatever that means, is making consistent beer. And
I would say that success would be making your beer better every time.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I always say. People be like,
very philosophical.
It's not even philosophical. Yeah. I would say it's commonsensical.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Sure. It is now, man.
But it is. I mean, if a brewery wants to brag that their beer is consistent, that's cool. I have no problem with that. More power to you. I prefer not to do that. That's Bud's game. And the reality is, no brewery can be more consistent than Budweiser. I mean, AB is killer at making not only from the brew house making consistent beer, keeping it consistent throughout their entire supply chain. Budweiser, Bud Light, it's incredible what they can do. But that's not our game. That's not what we're good at.
Right.
So
the game?
We're tiny.
Yeah, we're a tiny brewery.
It's kind of hard to win at, too.
Yeah, I guess. The thing I always throw at brewers is, well, if you're super consistent, that means your beer's not getting any better.
Okay.
Which, to me, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to say...
You want to be improving.
I want to be improving every single time. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a few recipes that have stayed stagnant, but I have... I don't know. 120?
That's not a good word.
But the recipes stayed static.
You're not changing it.
But you
did change it to get it where it is.
Hey, we've done like 120 something different beers, and there's maybe 10 that we keep the recipe the same.
Yeah, my
everything else we're tweaking.
So much fun.
Yeah,
Jason. I walk in the morning.
What did you say?
I walk in the morning, I have no idea what beer I'm going to brew.
Yeah, so...
Like, it could be a beer that I've brewed before, but...
It's not the same beer.
It's not the same beer.
So I tell everybody, I got the most talented brew staff in the industry because my guys will come in and I'll just leave recipe sheets in their brew logs, in our brew log book. I'll print out the recipes. I'll go home. I'll email that night. Like, this is what everyone's doing tomorrow. And then Jason will walk in at 5:45 in the morning, open the book and be like, oh, cool, new beer. Now, my team has to be good enough that they can brew, though, but that's the reality. They got to brew on the whim. We have zero automation. I removed all automation from our brewery, so they have to be able to brew every unique beer every time on a whim. They have to walk in the door and be like, oh, new beer? Cool, go. And they crush it every single time.
That's awesome.
You taste it. Jason's brewed every style here.
Yeah.
He's probably brewed every beer you're having right now.
Yeah. Shower beer, I saw, and I was like, oh, we're making Bud Light. Awesome. And then I saw the hop bill and was like, oh, wait, I work at Fieldwork.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
This is the Fieldwork version of Bud Light.
Right.
So.
Did we? Sorry, Tisa. Go ahead. Did we get to the?
No, he didn't tell
thing?
Me how much flour he had.
Okay.
Oh,
how much flour do you have?
Enough. Sometimes
a handful.
55 gallons. That's how we measure flour, right? What? No, I'm just kidding. I don't. No. It's literally. So we use a lot of raw grain.
You mentioned that. You can buy for starch, right? That's for unfermentable starch.
It's literally.
No, that's a haze that'll stay forever.
Yeah. And so,
raw grain.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So, raw wheat malt.
Okay.
Or not? It's not even malt. It's just raw wheat.
It's unmalted. Okay.
It's unmalted wheat, raw wheat. So we'll use that, and that's really for all the starch. We use a lot of protein-heavy grains, other wheat, like malted wheat, flaked oats. But the thing is there's no definitive science of why. So we do cell counts. We're kind of dicks. We did cell counts on like every hot, trendy, hazy IPA that people are loving. And we'd get cans of them in house and we did cell counts on them. And we saw there was a lot of yeast in all of them. we used our beers, our find beers, find unfiltered beers is like kind of the comparison. Mm-hmm. And so we knew about how much yeast is left is in all these beers. And mm-hmm. we could use that as a barometer, of knowing when we're making these beers, is our contribution, is that yeast? Is there something else going when we mess with these other factors? Barry and I had dinner with Wayne Wambles from Cigar City, and he was saying, he centrifuged a Treehouse beer and a Trillium beer, I believe. And it was pretty interesting. He said he didn't get much yeast out of those, I completely believe his labs.
I think some of the better ones don't have any yeast. It's all polyphenols.
But that's the thing, though, and this goes back to me saying hazy versus turbid versus everything. I've had Trillium, to me, is making some of the best beer in the world right now. Their beers aren't that turbid. They're barely hazy. But people are clumping that with... I'm not going to name brewery names, but ones that look like,
and taste like.
Yeah, they look like fermenter diarrhea. So
look like what Jason was talking about earlier.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, the orange juice and dirty dishwasher.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the grouping them all under one umbrella is a little ridiculous, and unique characteristics to all of them.
I think there's going
to
be good ones and bad ones. And I think that it's so new, I don't think we've really got a handle around what is good and what bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
Obviously, if a beer sells, people like it. That's a good beer.
Yeah, and then Wayne was explaining to me his theory was there were malt polyphenols bonding with hot polyphenols and keeping those in solution. And he kept talking. I don't think he realizes how stupid I am. So he kept talking at this like smart person level, and I was sitting there going, I was just smiling, going, yeah, I get it.
Wayne's real cerebral.
He is a smart dude, man. He's operating on a whole nother level. I'm envious. That's why I hire smarter people than me, though.
There you go.
Yeah. Jason's looking around. He's got like,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
With few exceptions, you should have said.
Yeah. Oh, no. No.
But it definitely is more art than science at this point.
That's
where you want to be. Yes. That's where you want to be.
You read brewing books as much as you want, but no one's talked about this, and you don't see any sort of science behind this. Mm-hmm. There's no one up in the Pacific Northwest or in the East Coast actually running these control trials to break down what it is.
Do you think there needs to be? Do you think we need to overanalyze everything that's happening? Which I like doing, so don't get me wrong, but am I right? Like, is that something the industry needs, or can we just have fun?
I mean, you can have fun, but if you're going to have these wars on whether or not it should be clear, or it should be turbid, or it should be, murky or whatever, what is it? I mean, brewing is and especially at field work, it's definitely a lot more hands-on, a lot of trial and error, lot of figuring out.
Like you say,
out.
More art than science. And art, it's in the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. If you like it turbid, that's what you drink.
But why? When people are going to say that Northeastern style IPA is this, why is it that? You can read brewing books about why to mash this way or what these grains do or what that does, but what is it about this style that, is definitive?
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
That's what I'd like to know. What are the good ones?
Right. And I think that's what you're pushing for, too. You're pushing
that's
for...
That's what I move things along. I can't wait for the...
Make it a style, right?
Make it a style.
So we can talk shit about
compare
it.
Them to each other and proclaim, one better than the other. We're all trying to, find out why.
That's all we want to do.
At the end of the day, this is why I like it. Yeah. And I'll take a...
Tell me, please,
I'm pro. because I am pro local beer. I'm pro fresh beer. Mm-hmm. I am pro just, again, supporting your local brewery. And I don't think beer tastes good when it's distributed. I think distributed beer is, for the most part, bad beer. This is a beer style that can't be distributed. That's why I like it. So this is a beer style that okay. the big craft breweries. Let me do this again. The big craft breweries.
Right.
They can't do this. They can't ship out bottles of IPA with a bunch of, regardless of the polyphenols, of yeast in them and this in them. No. They can't send that out and let it sit on a store shelf for their...
Or let it get warm.
They're obscene, 3 months would be a pleasant surprise for a Best Buy date. In reality, is most distributed beer is far longer than that. So I like the fact that I think it's a trend, maybe it's a subconscious trend of customers going, this is real. This is not filtered. This is not pasteurized. This is not homogenized. This is a product made by my local brewery.
It's like the punk rock of music.
Kind of.
Right?
Yeah.
Where it's just for these 50 people in this small bar,
yes.
Right? And that's it. And you can't replicate it.
Yep.
Because it's
And that's why I think it's
down.
Kind of cool in a way, is because it can't be redone. So we keep seeing it. Every brewing trend goes so fast, from craft brewery to the faux craft breweries to the big breweries. They keep funneling up. And I think this is a cool one because it can't funnel. It can't. I don't know. Maybe I can't say brewery names. Damn, this sucks. But we won't see the
I don't
say it. That sucks. But yeah, we won't see the ones who do like to try and jump on the tail end of every trend and then destroy supermarket shelves with product. They can't do this. I think that's kind of cool. Whether you like the style or not, I think that's cool.
Yeah, there's a respect issue that you should acknowledge, I suppose.
Yeah, and I enjoy that the brewery's putting out this style, whether you like it or hate it, is a style that cannot travel. I don't think any IPA should travel.
Yeah.
But it's a style that cannot travel. And
yeah, man, we got one of those beers, the Heady Topper beers, and a customer flew it in. I mailed it. It was a week after being canned, and it was all kinds of off. It was just, it tasted funky and weird, and we're like, and this
during
was,
the next commercial break, I'm going to show you something. Just remind me, because I got something great for you.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, I don't think that beer has become what it is because these flavors are in there, or whatever. But I think, that's the conclusion we came to as well. Just traveling that distance 3 days in the mail fucked it up.
Just warming it up.
Yeah, when I was at Ballast Point, I was lucky enough, phenomenal brewery to work for, really good people. And they used to send me to quite a few places to go do beer events. And I remember going to Philly Beer Week, and this is back before Sculpin really was, digging its heels into the East Coast.
Yeah.
And I was working this event at, I believe it was Good Dog Bar in Philly, which is an awesome bar. If you're ever in Philly, go to Good Dog Bar. I like those people. They make a good burger. Good people. All right. So everyone is getting so excited for this Sculpin cask we had there.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is a fruited beer? It was a fucking fruited
beer. No, this is a plain old cask of Sculpin.
You're the king of fruited IPA, you know that.
God.
You started it all.
Did you add fruit was that to Sculpin ever?
You are such a fucking jizz muffin. All right, so... these people are freaking out for Sculpin. And I tried it, and I was sitting there going... Ah, it sucks. Like, you guys need to try it at the brewery.
It was different for you.
And here's the thing, though. Ballast had a legit, supply chain to get beer out there. This wasn't beer that was abused and processed. This was a good example of that beer doesn't travel well.
What did it taste like that was different from at the brewery?
It was just muted.
Dropped.
Okay. It was still a great beer, and don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the funny thing. Sculpin's actually got, ridiculous legs on it. We used to... I remember pulling... 6-month-old library samples and tasting it going, shit, Sculpin at 6 months old tastes better than most people's IPAs. So it's a beer with these amazing legs.
Okay.
I think it's because it's so dry and that malt character is so low, and it really is able to retain it goes from being just super West Coast to being, kind of West Coast.
All right.
And it just really triggered with me. Like, beer just doesn't, hoppy beer doesn't travel well.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that hoppy beer's meant to be sent from coast to coast.
Right, or aged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so, well, another good thing to do blindfolded.
Yeah.
What's that?
Fresh IPA, four-month-old IPA.
No, so there was I really hate the internet, but there was I hate blogs too. There was a homebrewer
blog on the internet.
Right? Yeah. No, there was a homebrewer who has this blog, and it was really cool. The guy obviously has a good grasp of scientific methodology, but he had bought some fresh Pliny.
Mm-hmm.
He had sat onto some old Pliny, and it was two different. It was three different batches, I believe, total.
Okay.
And then he got a homebrew club together. And what shocked him was he had grabbed an old bottle of Pliny, I believe. Please don't quote me. He had grabbed an old bottle, think it was a fresh bottle, and thought it was awesome. Didn't know it was old.
Okay.
And then so he went, you know, and had this whole homebrew club, and he said it was a homebrew IPA, and it was old Pliny. And it was interesting to see, like, the few people in a triangle test, there was no – people struggled to pull out the beer that was different, which to me was shocking.
Okay.
But it also depends on storage conditions, everything. But it was a pretty interesting thing to read about. And also the people's comments on the beer were hilarious because if they knew it was Pliny, they would have been like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
48 points out of 50.
Oh, man. Everyone would have needed towels to go home before they go home. But instead, they're like, oh, you know. I mean, they're saying some funny stuff. I'm not going to quit. Google it. Look it up. It was pretty interesting. You know, kudos to the dude who runs that blog. So it was actually a really interesting read. And
that sounds like it.
But it does.
Shit.
It's pretty cool about, you know, age versus fresh and all that noise.
All right. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more. We have three other beers to drink from you guys. Four? Three?
Four.
Three. Four. Four?
Better hurry up.
Seven. We have 12 beers to drink. Anyway, it's the session. Hang on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Grog tags aren't just for labeling your home brews to hand out to your friends. They're the perfect way to round out your personal brewing marketing. Bringing your latest beer to a funeral? Craft a metal sign to go with it. Heading out to Little Liam's bar mitzvah? Grog tag custom bottle caps are awesome. Couldn't get out of jury duty this year? Grog tag the hell out of the deliberation room with reusable labels. Grog tag has an awesome array of products just waiting to be customized by you. Metal signs, coasters, tasting mats, bottle caps, tap handles. It's all there waiting for your designs at Grog tag. Liven up your next party with the widest selection of custom products ever offered by a sponsor of the Brewing Network. Grog Tag. At least your beer will look good.
If you haven't heard, there's a completely new brand of brewing equipment. Kettles, burners, and accessories. Trustworthy everyday gear that helps you forge and shape outstanding beer the way you want. It's called Anvil Brewing Equipment.
Hi, I'm John Palmer. You may remember me from such self-help books as How to Brew, Brewing Classic Styles, Water, and the Brew Strong Podcast. I am very pleased to announce the debut of Anvil Brewing Equipment from Blickman Engineering. I have been working closely with them these past few years to develop products that combine the best of materials, features, and price point. Each of these products has been developed, tested, and reviewed to meet these ideals and bears the Palmer Brewing Solutions stamp of approval on the packaging. Anvil Brewing Equipment, inspired by Palmer, built by Blickman, and made for you.
Check out anvilbrewing.com. Anvil. Durable. Reliable. Dependable.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret Elite Bare Bones Club, where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge Electric Mash Water Heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to williamsbrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Hey, everybody. We're back. We're back talking with the guys from Fieldwork. Before we get too, get too deep back into it, I do want to tell you guys about our close personal friends whom I've never met before, Brad at Beersmith. You can go to beersmith.com and get your 21-day free trial. He is so confident in his software, and we are so confident that you will enjoy the software. You don't need 30 days to try it. You need 21 days, because on the 21st day, you're going to be like, I can't live without Beersmith. I don't know what I've been doing. Tasty is now working with Brad at beersmith.com to have the new cloudy IPA style added.
Yes. They have a turbidity factor put into the menu.
Turbidity factor.
And it's tasty factor.
It's going to be amazing.
The TF.
What's the TF level on this fucking beer right now?
What's the fucking TF level?
What's the TF level? So Brad is eagerly right now awaiting the dimensions of that so he can add that into the new update. No, seriously, though. Go to beersmith.com. Take your 21-day free trial. It's free. You're literally out nothing except a little space in your computer. But you're gonna love it. So check him out. Brad's a cool dude. He's been supporting us for a long time. He's a home brewer. And, hey, he's handsome. He's not very tall, but it's fine. He makes up for it in anyway, whatever. Beersmith.com.
Was that Merle Haggard you were playing on a break?
That was Merle Haggard, baby.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice. Only two good things come out of Bakersfield, Merle Haggard and Ben Richards. That was Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Running Man, the butcher of Bakersfield. Come on.
Oh, really?
What about Buck Owens?
Yeah, Buck I forgot Owens. Buck Owens is also from Bakersfield.
That too.
Yeah. Oh, three things. Sorry, yeah. Bakersfield.
Well, the best thing about Bakersfield is leaving. I'm kidding. I don't think I've ever really been to Bakersfield.
Has anybody actually been to Bakersfield?
Yeah, I've experienced it.
Someone's going to come into our tasting room from Bakersfield and beat the shit
out of me. They're out there right now going, excuse me.
Yeah, they're getting their best.
Yeah, have you ever been to Bakersfield? We're good people.
We just got a new Walmart, and it's amazing. Yeah. How dare you? Anyway.
I think we have beer in Bakersfield, don't we? Sporadically?
Really? Sporadically.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
The city council is listening to this show right now. They're like, fuck those guys. Yeah. Let's talk about some beer, man, because we kind of basically just talked about shower beer and then, you know, philosophically about cloudy beers because Tasty couldn't shut up about it.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. All right. What are we drinking now? This is the salted cucumber.
So...
Why is it a salt? What is it? What style? I need a style. I need a guideline.
Saison.
Right now. Okay.
So it's farmhouse ale with a ton of sea salt and a ton of cucumber and a ton of yeast ester and mellow malt profile. I mean, it's saison. We like our saisons pretty light on malt profile and pretty dry. And
why sea salt?
Why not sea salt?
Even better question.
Yeah. So no, we do.
Why not more sea salt?
Well, no. Here's the thing. We do a lot of beers with sea salt in them. I don't know why.
Is that a line that you have, like the salted whatever?
No, well, I mean, but it kind of is.
Like Martins or something? Or?
We do. Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
When it rains.
How about the Martins? Like Martins.
You're talking about like grill mates?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Oh, yeah. It'd be nice if we get a rim.
We're going to be so recession proof once we diversify into like meat rubs. Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
No, you can put them on the rims of the glass. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're never going to get through these beers with Tasty Tom.
No, never.
Fuck.
That's all right.
I'm sorry, man.
We're going to do it quick.
But yeah, so.
Next segment, I'm a whole lot different.
I like sea salt because, A, the mineral character it can add to a beer is it's subtle because you're not using these insane amounts, but you're getting enough that you're getting a nice minerality to it. Salt works to me as, I mean, I think it works much like a catalyst for flavor. So salt tends to translate flavor into your tongue and, you know, jack it up, you know, two or three notes on the dial.
Accentuate the sweetness. My cookies have salt in them just to bring the sweetness up. Yeah, and it's also a chemical. It's part of the chemical process of baking. And sodium chloride is part of the chemical process of beer.
Right, I mean, my experience with salt is it will make anything more than what it was.
Yeah,
so
it's like flavor enhancer.
Sweetness. I mean,
the maltiness of the beer.
Exactly. So we use it really to just knock that. Well, also, it's supposed to be really refreshing. And so it's supposed to be conceptually like, I mean, I hate to use the term like spa water. Like, I mean, it's a saison.
No, I've never had
it. It's refreshing.
Spa water.
Every cucumber beer I've had, I can take a drink this over ice. Because it's got that sort of refreshing.
Yeah, it's a refreshing.
There's enough flavor left, no matter what the water does to the beer.
Yeah.
It's still going to have a lot of flavor.
Yeah, it's a really refreshing fruit. And then seesaw, I mean, the salt is a refreshing thing. So the idea behind the beer is, and we do this with a few of our beers, where the cucumber aspect is super refreshing. The salt aspect makes you want to drink more. I mean, that's just what salt does. It makes you want to drink. So it quenches your thirst, but then makes you want to drink more. So this is one of those beers you know, when we first opened and people asked us what kind of beers we make, the only thing I could think of off the top of my head was we make beers people accidentally drink three of.
Huh?
And I think this is a good example of it, which is you take a sip and you want to take another sip. And next thing you know, your pint's gone. You're like, oh, shit. All right, I'll take another one.
My my tongue is very lacking in moisture right now.
Yeah, so it's
very dry.
It's not,
but it's not a dry beer. I wouldn't say it's a dry beer. But
I think there is that.
I wouldn't say super dry, right?
Technically, it's a pretty
that's what I mean. But
kind of bone dry.
When I'm tasting it, there's enough
the perception.
Softness. Right,
yes,
exactly.
The perception,
right,
yes. It perceives not as incredibly bone dry as it is because it, I mean, it finishes out at one, lower than that, 7/10 of a point Play-Doh, which specific gravity would be, I think, 10.03 or something like that, 10.05?
2 or 3, 2.5 or something.
Yeah,
and there you go. Drinking it's the beer, I would never have guessed
that.
I would never have guessed it.
No, exactly. It kind of softens the palate.
The chlorides bring that, you know, malt character out of it.
Yeah.
So it's still dry.
But you still do have the drinkability of it being that dry, though.
Yeah.
So it is. It's kind of one of those beers that it toes two lines, but the end goal is drink a lot of it.
Now, cucumber, where do you put that in? On the hot side, cold side?
Cold side. We treat it just like a dry hop. So,
oh, I see. Dry hop with fresh cucumber? Cucumber extract?
Yeah. No, fresh cucumber. Uh-huh.
You dry cumber.
Yeah. Alex sits down and just peels and chops cucumber.
I'm pretty fast at this now.
Really? Like just,
oh, yeah. No, I'll sit there in the tasting room and do it. Now. Yeah.
What are you, I'm the fruit chopper. Are you chopper slow, like using a paring knife? Like,
oh, no. I got.
You're chopping like a maniac?
No, I can do 200 pounds in about 5 hours now. And that's peeling, slicing.
Now you do that because you don't feel like you could ask anybody else to do it. It'd be stupid.
No, it's because I will state this. I have the best brew team in this fucking country.
And let them do what they do.
And I'm not saying it because Jason's here. If Jason wasn't here, I'd still say it. Uh-huh. But my guys can multitask like nobody else. You can't multitask if you're doing this. So as the boss, I will take that because my guys also, we don't have the luxuries of these big breweries.
Yeah.
We're a very manual brewery. Everything is very manual there. My guys are all doing five things at a time, so I'm not going to pull somebody off their schedule to do something that I can do that. I keep my computer at my desk. Most of my work.
You've got a mound of kegs to clean when people got time to do stuff anyway.
So I just sit there, do my computer work while I'm banging out, a couple hundred pounds of cucumbers. And
I thought you were watching a movie last time.
I was watching Mean Girls. I was watching Mean Girls while I was doing cucumbers.
Was your Netflix stuck or what?
I was on Netflix.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. I really embarrassed that I just admitted it right now.
Is that where Fetch comes from?
That is where. So we have a beer called Fetch.
Yeah.
And we made it a thing. Yeah.
So Fetch.
It's so Fetch. So
from Mean Girls.
From Mean Girls.
Awesome. I love
actually,
it.
Actually, yeah. That's our beer that benefits Berkeley Humane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fetch.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
But
did it come from Mean Girls and Berkeley Humane was like, I love it. This is great. You guys thought about us and you're secretly.
We will never tell the secret to that. That will
of the naming scheme.
Oh yeah, you will never know if that was Mean Girls or if it was. Yeah,
for sure. I kind of like not.
Can't
knowing.
Tell you. Yeah, you'll never know.
But I want to know.
Yeah, but no. It's put in cold side.
Okay, so after fermentation,
it's a
done.
Total pain in the
salt's
butt.
In the it kettle, is though,
aging.
Right?
Huh?
Salt's in the kettle, or is it?
Salt's in the kettle.
Okay.
Just because you get salt will dissolve in cold beer, but it takes longer, and I have my doubts how well. It will avoid stratification, whereas in the boil it all dissolves. We got our salt additions kind of down to a science now, like because we do a ton of salty beers. So that's all hot side. Cucumber gets thrown into the fermenter after it's been chilled, and that's strictly so that when the beer has enough cucumber character. We can rack it off that day.
I see. Because otherwise,
if you're like, oh, great, cucumber character. All right, let's wait 4 days and chill this tank. And,
yeah.
And then you're going to end up
with it. It doesn't necessarily get better. I like the balance of this one. You did a good job.
No, and the whole goal with it is to avoid the vegetable character. So you shouldn't get that green vegetable salad-y thing. It should be really
like
fruity almost.
Cucumber, like the cucumber juice.
Yeah.
If that's a thing. I'm sure that's a thing. I'm sure you can go to Whole Foods and buy fucking cucumber juice, kombucha or whatever.
I think you can.
You probably can. It
doesn't
surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's delicious. Yeah. How long have you guys been making that beer?
This is the third batch we did. Yeah. So we started it at the beginning of summer. It was nice and hot out, so it was a perfect beer. And then we made it again, and summer kind of disappeared on us for a little bit. And
it's coming up.
This is the last time we'll brew it this year. We'll push through it until summer's over, and then it'll hold for next year.
Okay.
It's just, awesome. I mean, no, who wants a cucumber saison in the winter? That's.
Are they going to do Mean Girls 2 before then?
Oh my God, I hope they do a sequel.
I hope they're drinking your beer.
All about it. Yeah,
that'd be great.
You and all of us in this room.
Right.
Man.
Yeah, man, on this side of the East Bay, we could take one of these beers during the wintertime because you guys catch all of our cold air.
Yeah, well, actually, that's really true. And I mean, but I think that's one of the things we also try and have fun about, not having a core lineup, not, being handcuffed to anything, is we've...
You don't have a core lineup?
No. Everything we brew is just... It's either reoccurring
beer.
How much time do we have for this? We
whatever
have
you want, man. Whatever.
Okay, so I always...
I'll take a nap and we can come back later. Okay.
So I just... I describe it as a solar system. I say our draft lineup is the sun.
You are a hippie. You're a hippie. You're a tattooed hippie.
I
from San Diego.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's like the universe.
It's like the universe, bro. So then the patchouli dry hop. So, okay, so the sun is either, you know, we say it's our draft lineup. Okay. Every planet is a different beer. They all come and go at their own rates. And then you have your little meteors that fly by once and never seen again. So that's the way we kind of approach our lineup, which is we have our one full-time beer, which is our Pilsner. Mm-hmm. And that's our full-time beer because genuinely, Barry and I like Pilsners. That's what we drink mostly. So
yeah.
We wanted a Pilsner full-time just for us to drink. And then everything else comes and goes at pretty equal rates, depending on seasonality. We're still learning. We're only a year and a half old. So, but they all come and go. And then we have the random one-offs that we'll do here and there and have fun with. And but, yeah, it's a fun tool for us because it's able to keep the beers relevant seasonally, which we didn't realize was a thing until we brewed this one stout that sold like absolute wildfire in the winter. And then we brewed it again in the late spring, and it just, I mean, granted, I don't think we have anything that really takes a long time to sell, but it took twice as long to sell it. And we realized, like, all right, this isn't San Diego anymore. We have seasons. Right. Like, we have to adapt to these seasons. So,
yeah.
But that makes it so much more fun. Mm-hmm. Like,
sure.
It makes brewing a little bit more of a festive thing for us now. So,
can you get away with stuff up here that you couldn't necessarily in San Diego style wise?
That's a oh my god.
Let me guess. That's a long answer.
That's a long answer. I don't want to get into it. I love
San
Diego.
That's a great question, though.
Yeah. No, it is. I think
it's not a bashing thing. I just
they're two very different markets.
Yeah.
And
You like San Diego drinkers better than.
What was that?
You like San Diego drinkers better than Bay Area drinkers?
It sounds like that's what he's saying, Tasty, and I think
we should spread that
rumor.
He's not denying it.
No, he's not denying it.
All right. This could be like
it's official.
An interview by Infra.
No, he likes San Diego Mexican food better.
Their burrito game on.
Yeah.
Their burrito game is on point down in San Diego. Yeah. No,
I get that. El Farolito, not this place but down there by the firehouse. Like
okay,
in the next
block. I saw you guys have a Taqueria El Farolito up here.
Yeah.
Dude, all right. That's I'm not best. A fan of the Mission Style Burrito. They do it right.
They do a pretty good job.
They crush it. Yeah. They're good. Yeah. They're good eggs in my book. But no, my mom raised me. You don't have anything nice to say, don't say it all. By the way, hi, Mom. I think she's listening. I don't know. I doubt it.
Great.
My parents.
Your language has been impeccable.
I know.
Mine hasn't been.
Yeah. She's
used to it.
She's well used to it.
And, right.
But no, so.
Stylistically,
yeah. I think San Diego and the Bay Area are very similar. I mean, it's an IPA world. There's anything other. You know what? No, I will say, actually. Our beer to guard Hannah. That in San Diego would not have sold. And I didn't think it would sell. I mean, I brewed it because I wanted the challenge of making beer to guard because I had only had maybe three beer to guards in my life.
Right, right.
And one of them being Abbey St. Bonchain, which is like this bizarre beer to guard, which you can barely classify. And we made it. I'm sitting there going, oh man, this beer's going to take forever to sell. And this is when we were brand new. And I'm like, great, new brewery, weird beer style. People don't know about. We sold that beer so fast. And we brought it back, and this batch I aged on Brett. And I'm thinking, all right, well, this will take. And then it's flying again. I'm sitting there like, you know, I don't know many markets you can sell a beer to guard that fast. And so the Bay Area, I love it here. The beer scene's awesome. The beer drinkers are awesome. You're buying beer to guard, you're good folk. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not a style most people are going to appreciate. But they really appreciate it here, and I'm stoked. Our lagers fly up here, Pilsners fly, which is something that, again, we made it for us to drink. We didn't make those beers thinking, oh, we're going to sell the hell out of these. We did, but that wasn't the intention. The intention was that we have these awesome lagers and Pilsners for us to drink
ourselves. Yeah, man, I tell you what, I love the trend of I mean, I don't know if it's a trend, but I see more and more breweries putting out lagers, like proper lagers.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, you know, 3 week old, you know, 3 week fermentation turnaround, whatever. Oh, it's a quote lager, but it's not a lager. Like, it's an actual lager, and you can taste that. And right, TC? Like, we have some here at the bar sometimes that we're, oh, wow, there's more and more Pilsners coming on tap. There's more and more lagers, right? I like that. I think it's great, and I think it's about time we kind of took back the lager.
Oh, completely.
You know what I mean, I understand that it takes a long time to fucking make a beer. Why is Jason laughing at
me? It's not a profitable beer to make.
Take back the lager.
Yeah.
I want to get very aggro about it. I don't know, man.
Wait, can we trademark that name tonight? Right? Take back the lager? That's...
I will give you... I will take 10% of... Profit.
10% of what?
I don't know, man. I'm just trying
to
do business.
There are no profits. So.
Yeah. I'm trying to talk business.
What do you
right
want 10% of?
Shit, I don't know.
We're in this industry for friendship. I don't know what
you're
doing. I'll
take 10% friendship.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a half a hug.
That's good.
So, I'll take it. I'll take a side hug, right?
If you look at the BA puts out the list every year of the top 50 production breweries and craft breweries in the country.
Yeah.
If you look at it, you can actually... God, I want Bart Watson to graph this out. I don't know if it's possible.
Tweet him right now.
Tweet him, please. So, if you don't know him, follow Bart Watson on Twitter, by the way. The guy is...
Who's this guy?
He's the chief economist for the BA, I believe.
Chief economist.
Oh, yeah.
Chief
yeah.
economist for yeah. the
Brewers. Dude, the guy puts out the raddest... I like data. And the guy puts out such cool data points and intriguing... Just follow him and watch. You'll see really cool things, and you'll see the trends of this industry. And one of the trends, like... I personally have followed for a while because, opening a brewery wasn't this, new thing. Like, oh, beer's cool. Let me do this. I've wanted to do this since I was a teenager.
Wow.
And I'm old as dirt now, so it's a long time. And
especially today. Happy birthday, Alex.
Thank you. I'm even older now. So, but if you look at the top 50 list from the BA year over year, you'll notice, look back 10 years ago, every brewery in the top had a brown ale. Mm-hmm. In their core lineup 10 years ago. Nowadays, look in that top 20 and find one brewery that has a brown ale in their lineup. Maybe, I think Brooklyn still has one. I know Deschutes killed
theirs. Abita has that Turbo Dog, which I love.
I haven't had it, but...
I think it's great.
I also never heard of it.
They all haven't stolen the Janet's brown ale recipe.
Exactly. So.
But they give it up. They surrendered to it.
They didn't take the free flyer Tasty hands out after every... Right?
The free flyer. Yeah.
But no, that's the thing. Look, and everyone had a brown ale. Now almost no one does. But look back then, almost no one had a Pilsner. But if you look at it today, almost every one of those breweries has a Pilsner in there.
I love it. And we've talked to breweries that used to have brown ales. And they go, it's hard to sell something with a color... Like, same thing with a red ale. Yeah. It's hard to sell something called a brown ale or a red ale because just that name isn't very appealing.
I mean, we moved through ours super quick. I couldn't believe how fast our Imperial Red went. I made that for JBF, and that was a gimme beer. I was like, let's make it for JBF. It'll take forever to sell. It fucking flew out of there.
Well, but your red ale is a head fake.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So our red ale actually has no character malt. It's Pilsner malt and Belgian candy sugar. That's it.
Really?
Yeah. The sugar darken the beer?
Yeah, it does. It makes it blood red. Not even that much. Dude, that stuff's strong. Oh, no. Well, we get the good stuff. It's like, no. We got the hookup.
You sound like my weed guy.
Yeah. Wait, you have a Tasty.
What?
You realize it's 2000. Tasty, you don't need a weed guy anymore. You can go to the store and buy weed now.
Fine.
Like, you're a weed guy. Come on, man. No, but, our red ale is literally, it's just Pilsner malt and Belgian candy sugar, but it's a really high love bond Belgian candy sugar. So it ends up creating this super dry red ale. It's a hoppy red. I mean, at the end of the day,
well, of course,
it's a hoppy red.
Yeah, right.
But it's really dry, but what's incredible is the amount of character you get out of that Belgian candy sugar is unbelievable. Like,
really? Because it's in a lighter beer. Usually they're added to really strong.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
right,
it tastes like malt character, though. It doesn't taste like... Really? You would think all you would get is maybe that raisiny, pruny.
Yeah.
No, you get a crazy depth of character out of that, that Belgian candy sugar. But
it's like using Cinnamar, but with a lot more flavor.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the Cinnamar flavor... There is flavor of Cinnamar. It is. And it's nasty.
Yeah.
I don't like the Cinnamar flavor. Yeah. It does. It gives it this char, almost like ashtray character to me.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of it, but the Belgian candy sugar we get, it's 180 love bond, I think. And this stuff is killer.
A little bit does it. Wow.
Just a little. It's, Jason, do you remember last time? It's like two jugs, which would be 110 pounds. So 25 barrels, we use 110 pounds. Cool. And
do the math, Tasty. What is that?
That's right. Anybody that cares can do the math.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to waste
enough.
Time
but
here.
So, oh, Jesus. Yeah, so we're completely off topic again. But, yeah, I mean, that's We find ways to sell brown ales and red ales because at the end of the day, we like those styles and we're not going to abandon them because they're not hot.
Yeah. Somebody's got
to do whatever we can to make them hot and make them sell. And
well, I love it. I think both styles are great.
Yep.
So I'm glad to see that you aren't letting them die.
Oh, no. Brown ale is one of my favorite styles of beer, and I'm baffled why people don't appreciate it more. But yeah. It's this perfect in-between of pale ale and stout without being as disgusting as blending a pale ale with a stout.
Right,
It really is this great in-between point of maltiness, yet drinkability. It's a great style. I wish people appreciate it a little more, but it'll come back around.
Speaking of pale ales,
yes.
I think we're drinking your pale ale right now.
All right, so that's Painted Gold. Is a pale ale. I'm a huge, huge fan of a bluegrass band out of San Francisco called Brothers Comatose.
Okay.
By the way, am I allowed to plug things on here?
Sure.
I know terrestrial radio. You're not supposed to plug
anything. No, but terrestrial radio has listeners.
Oh, perfect.
So we're all right. Fine.
So,
you're all right.
All right. So my mom's going to go buy this album, but because she should be listening. We named this beer after a band called the Brothers Comatose out of San Francisco, bluegrass band. I'm getting a fist pump from in the studio right now.
Okay, have you heard about these guys? You've heard of these guys?
You've heard of them?
Yeah, one of my bartenders at Public House is the manager.
Oh, cool.
I just went and saw them up in St. Helena.
Oh, cool.
They're freaking rad.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, so they just released a new album recently called City Painted Gold. If you haven't heard it, go buy it on wherever the kids buy music nowadays. Legitimately, like, I'm not kidding. It's a fucking awesome album.
Okay.
Great Barry band. So they were kind enough to come and play our first anniversary party.
Yeah, I caught them.
They're
great.
And for me, I mean, they were one of my favorite bands before I moved to the Bay Area. 1 year into owning a brewery, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there drunk on top of my cold box, watching them play in my brewery.
You were drunk, by the way.
And really, I was wasted at that point.
You couldn't get down.
And then, I know, well, I was on the OSHA could be listening.
That's true.
Yeah, so true. We were very safe about everything. I totally had this moment where I realized I was one of those girls from MTV's My Sweet 16. That show where they're
screaming,
like, buy me my car. That was me. I was sitting there going, my favorite band's playing in my brewery. Like a little, I felt at the same time as accomplished as I felt douchey. And, but
it's a fine line.
I made this beer just because I was really into the album, listening to it. And I don't know. I like the guys. So I was like, I want to make a beer that made me think about their album. And so I want to go for a real golden color. So I went for kind of a hazy pale ale that looks kind of golden in the light from the haze. And really wanted to just drink like a super modern West Coast pale ale. So low bitterness, big. It's a Citra Eldorado Mosaic or Citra Eldorado Motueka.
Okay.
Wanted to be real, just kind of that juicy, you know, super crushable, you know, pale ale that I'd want to drink. So that, and I had a lot of Citra sitting around. So I was like, all right, let's get rid of some Citra.
You're like, let's do this.
No, let's do a Citra Pale.
Is this also a Pilsner-based malt beer?
Yeah, we use Pilsner as a base malt for every single beer, whether it's a stout or...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that? You just
which brand? Can you say that? You can see it on the
I don't know. They've torn enough bags on us that should we...
Oh.
Should we pay us more? Wait, did they give us a silo yet?
They didn't give us a silo, so I can't mention him.
Never mind that.
We use Great Western's Pilsner Malt, which I really like it because it is, and I hope Great Western doesn't get mad at me, is a super bland malt.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't have that Weyermann sort of...
Yeah, Weyermann's got that little bit of gusto, that graininess to it. You don't get that. I mean, it is a... It is a bland base malt. Yeah. But with that is, I mean, I think it would make bad beer on its own.
It's a blank
plate. Blend in a lot of English base malt. So this beer's got, I think it's 20% Maris Otter, and that gives it that little bit of, you know, that kind of nice sweet, bready malt character. Yeah, that plays with the hops really well. Mm-hmm. And
20% Maris Otter, and the rest is Pilsner.
20% Maris Otter. I'm trying to remember. Man, we have like 100-something beers. I'm trying to remember. I was going to bring my laptop in case I got grilled.
Yeah.
I think it's about 20% Maris Otter.
Well, you've heard the show before. You should expect this. That's bullshit.
I know. I'm stupid.
That's fucked up.
10% oats. 10% wheat. There's no crystal malt, I don't think. I think that's it, really.
Okay.
10% wheat. Why did you use wheat?
Why?
Why, yeah.
Head retention.
Okay. Yeah. 10%, though. That's a lot.
Yeah, but you can't taste. I mean,
no, you can't taste.
Well, yeah. But you were going
going 10% under. There's you. In my opinion, you can't really taste anything.
No, you were going for hazy anyways. And exactly. Is that what you're saying? You saying that it's because you can't use that much
make
because
you very hazy.
No,
and unless you do like higher amounts of it.
Well, see, no. People on the internet will say that you can. The reality is, you're right. I mean, we've made how much is the most beer you've mashed in at our brewery of wheat malt? Probably like 45% ish.
About 30 to 40%,
yeah,
at least.
And they come out crystal fucking
because it's a really yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Raw wheat will be more hazy.
That's what you're talking about. The last segment. Those raw grains will give that to you.
Yeah.
So why were you saying that 10% a lot? Just because
it's usually like 4 or 5% will give you what you want.
Okay.
But whatever.
But you were concerned about flavor.
Well, we also use wheat for body. We use it for
has a little fruitiness maybe in larger amounts.
Okay. All right.
Like the flavor. I mean, so if we do, we have a lot of beers where we use wheat for the flavor, too.
Excellent.
I mean, we have a number of IPAs where they are 30-something percent wheat because I like, with certain white wheat malts, you get this nice doughiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I could describe it. I'm not too good with words.
His descriptions for his beers are like 600 words, I swear.
Yeah, that's true. I get kind of into it. Yeah. So it's, to me, it's just a beer about being, you know, a pale ale that still has a lot of body from those oats and those
wheat. And the complexity of the malt bill.
Yeah, and giving it some base malt that back up the hops really well. I think Maris Otter with Citra is like just delicious together. They play really well together. And the Motueka and El Dorado were just kind of brighten it up because Citra's kind of a finicky hop sometimes. So I wanted something that played well with them that I knew would be, you know, juicy and
that's smart.
Fruity.
Yeah. Malts are your kind of like the forgotten part of the beer recipe.
Yeah. Well,
pairing them with the hops is just a great concept.
Well, I tell everybody that's, I call it new school balanced because, IPAs back in the day used to be like balanced meant enough malt character and sweetness to balance out this bitterness. Mm. To me, it's using your base malts or your specialty malts to accentuate the hop character. Yeah. So we don't do a lot of specialty malt in our beers, but every malt is in there to accentuate that hop that's in there. It's not, well, this would taste good and this would taste good. Let's put them together. It's, you know, everything's thought out. It's not, you know, just spinning a wheel going, let's pick a specialty malt, or let's pick a hop. It's no, it's well thought out.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can we try that sometime?
We can do that.
Well, the wheel of ingredients?
We got to go down.
Wheel of Fortune beer.
Does anyone know if they have manatees in Monterey?
There are no manatees in Monterey.
I'm in the aquarium, but yeah, so there's not.
Oh,
I've never been
I don't
there.
Know if there's any manatees in the aquarium.
Because well, I want to do like
out.
A,
it's
like there's a, yeah. That was a South Park episode, right?
Where there's they no got, land in my the backyard.
Manatees, we'll do it with balls while manatees brew a beer for us. It'll be like six row, flake corn, special B. Willamette hops.
I'm looking right now. I swear to God, I'm looking.
You spin the wheel for the amount, and you spin it again for percentage.
But they do have a sperm whale, and I think that could be equally as intriguing.
I don't think it works with the sperm whale. I think it only works with the manatee.
It
can't. How about jellyfish? It might work with jellyfish.
It'll work with the jellyfish, but it won't be as funny as the manatees.
Well, but with the jellyfish,
manatees are fucking funny.
If we throw Jason in there half naked and we just write ingredients on his body where the jellyfish stings him, those are the ingredients we use.
Good luck with that, Jason.
Wait, which Jason are we talking about?
Yeah, this one here. We're going in the tank.
Spin the wheel of Jason. Who knows?
But that's the whole idea behind that beer, and it's really
I like it.
More than anything, it's a tribute to a band we love and we consider friends, and we're super.
That's cool.
We're honored that they played our anniversary party, and I just want to give, you know, credit where credit's due. They're awesome local musicians, and we name a lot of stuff after local things. So they were more than deserving, and I hope they liked it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Never heard from them again.
No.
They played your party, and they're like,
they stopped in town, had sex with us, and then I woke up in the morning, and there was this folded up paper airplane next to me. I opened it, and it was like, thanks, bro.
Yeah.
I was like, they used us. No. They'll come in every once in a while. They're touring like crazy because they're an awesome band, and that's what good bands do.
Cool.
So,
Well, let's chat about your next beer, too. Let's get into the actual IPA territory.
All right. Is that Clear Skies?
Clear Skies.
All right. Clear Skies was I hate to admit that I listen to customers because I don't. I do not give it. I do not read reviews. I do not listen to criticism. I don't care. But every once in a while, somebody will come up with a cool idea, and I'm like, oh, I like that. That's where coconut milk came. That's where a lot of our beers have kind of spawned from, is hearing something going, yeah, I think there's something to that, and I'll look into it. When we first released St. Thomas, which is a Mosaic single hop beer, it's like brewery favorite. It's, we all love that beer. Customers love it. And it's, again, it's essentially a smash beer. There's a little bit of oats and wheat, but it's mostly just Pilsner malt and Mosaic. A couple customers said to me that they got like pininess from it. And I was sitting there going like, pininess from Mosaic. I'm like, what the hell? But I'm tasting it, and I'm finding these little subtle pine notes.
Okay.
And so then that's where Clear Skies came from, which is I was sitting there going, maybe there's more to this pine character in Mosaic that I'm not tasting. So we added in Dr. Rudy, which is a hop I really like from, I believe it's Australia. I'll get it wrong. It's Australia or New Zealand. I'm pretty sure Australia. And it's Dr. Rudy has a really nice, intense, grassy, piney character. We use it in smaller amounts because it is so kind of intense and pungent. Because
we've used the term grassy in a negative way, but I'm assuming you're not. I mean, it's a very positive flavor.
The only time grassy for me is a negative is if the beer is too green. Okay. You get that kind of bright tank grassy character that I don't know how else to describe it. It's too green. It's too fresh. It's essentially it's bottle shock in your bright tank.
All right.
So, but grassy in this case is no. That's intentional. I mean, it's supposed to be grassy, piney, but still completely dominated by the Mosaic fruitiness. So that kind of honeydew, cantaloupe, grapefruity. You know, I love Mosaic. I mean, that's my hop. I love it. It changes with anything you put with it, and so I wanted to give it a little piney kick.
I definitely get that.
Yeah,
I definitely get that split.
And it was supposed to be. This is. You know, every beer we made for our first 6 months that was hoppy was, like, super tropical. And so I was like, you know, I want to branch out a little bit.
Right.
This was one of the first beers where we branched out. We did this one. I was like, let's do a kind of piney fruity and, you know, play with flavor profiles. And so this is all. This is Pilsner malt, Golden Promise base malt, which is just outstanding for a base. I mean,
Golden Promise is great.
Golden Promise.
Yeah, it tastes
awesome.
So good.
Oh, and it works with hoppy beers. It works with malty beer. It is outstanding. So it is a lot of Golden Promise. Yeah, I can't remember what else. I mean, I'm sure there's other stuff.
Some stuff.
Again, I mean, we don't really do crystal malt in hardly any beers. A few here and there. But for the most part, all the character, again, is Golden Promise.
Okay.
So, but straightforward beer, super low bittering. I mean, this is probably a 40 IBU IPA, I would think. Somewhere in that range, 40 to 50 top.
What is it normally, Tasty?
An IPA would be like, 40 to 50.
Yeah. Okay. 50 is the high end kind of thing?
Back in the 40s, maybe.
You go 60. Then you're in double IPA. You have to go,
if it's actually in India.
All right. So when Tasty brought it over on the Mayflower, IPAs were 40 IBU.
I am a 90s guy for sure.
Yeah.
When he was part of the Dutch India, East India Company, and pitching the inside of the barrels.
Yeah, so.
No, I mean, I've watched Clear Skies, so it's the third batch, and I love this. This is a beer that I drink like crazy because it's so dry.
Yeah.
And it's got this amazing Mosaic.
It's got a lot of great flavor.
Well, and to get it to work. We had to back the bittering off like insane amounts because it's such a dry beer. If we even went for, you know, our normal soft bitter, we normally bitter real softly, but if we went with our normal bittering, it would have been still too bitter. So this batch we backed it off to where, I mean, I've brewed home brews with probably the same bittering charge we do a 25 barrel batch on this with.
Do you find using a combination of base malts you get better attenuation? That the beers tend to run drier? You get the lower finishing gravities?
It depends on the base malt you mix it with. Yeah. So, I mean, with the Maris Otter heavy stuff, I mean, we get insane extract on Maris Otter. So, I don't know. Everything dries out pretty equally for us.
So like, you're generally your beer's really well attenuated.
Everything finishes right around with Cal at least. Almost everything finishes for us about 1.7 to 1.9 Plato.
Yeah.
So specific gravity, I don't know.
Someone, that's right. We got that.
But if anyone's listening and wants to know, you should download.
What? Just multiply
it's
by
called,
four.
The, is that
what, Beersmith?
Brewer's Friend.
Brewer's Friend.
That app is a lifesaver, man.
Really?
I'm on the brew house, and it actually does accurate calculation. That's why I like it.
All right, great.
Yeah.
I like this beer.
No, we do. Everything like we do is in Excel. Or it's on my phone with a calculator or a Brewer's Friend. That's it.
It's your technology base.
Yeah.
I so, like Jason, it, so. IPA is not your thing?
IPA is not my thing. It's not my thing. I like drinking beer. It's what we were talking about earlier. I like drinking beer. I like drinking a lot of beer, probably too much beer, but I don't necessarily like getting super wasted. And for me, the IPA, the issue with IPAs for me is just the higher alcohol. The 7% or whatever it is.
Well, I feel you on that. I mean,
you know what I mean? I like five at the most. That's my wheelhouse, man. I like it. I like milds. I like all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So you like whiskey?
I love whiskey. That's the thing. I like bourbon. I'm more of a bourbon guy, I guess.
Whiskey,
but, you know,
is imperial stouts.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's the natural progression. I don't know. I've been drinking beer for, 20 years. Maybe you kind of get this way and then you come.
You're
you
31,
come back.
Right?
38.
Oh my God, you're so old.
I know.
Well, no, so it's, I always celebrate. It's what I call the bell curve of craft beer. So everybody starts out at the bottom with their really shitty domestic, naturalized, whatever, Natty Light. And then that goes into, better domestic beer. And then it's import beer. It's, then it's Newcastle. It's, crap cool. like St. Pauli's. And all of a sudden it goes into Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Then it goes into IPA, then double IPA, then Imperial Stout. And Imperial Stout with, just crazy shit in it, and chocolate, and coconut, and dog semen. And then all of a sudden it goes
down
into double IPA, and then IPA, and then you're all of a sudden going, man, a really good Pale Ale sounds good. And then all of a sudden that goes
sounds
into...
great, man.
Then that goes into, oh, man, you know what I miss? Just a good Pilsner, just a good lager.
Right.
And then you end up... Everybody does it, though. I don't know anyone who doesn't follow this bell curve. And I want a nice, hoppy Pale Ale.
I have to agree. I've done it, and I've seen other people do it as well.
Yeah,
Is that the people that drink beer are like 25 to 35... That takes like 10 years to go through that cycle.
Well, they're driving the market,
right? We're okay with that, actually.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Can we name this bell curve after us, then? It'll be the Tasty Tweet. Bell curve of...
Tasty Tweet?
The Tasty Tweet bell curve of inebriation. Right. And it'll be...
It needs to have a good acronym. Let's find out the acronym, then we can figure out what it stands for.
That works for me.
We would
tell them where they need to end up.
Tweet and Tasty.
Save a lot of time.
And like when I first started, I didn't like any beer. Budweiser was terrible. I couldn't drink beer. And I had Shakespeare Stout from Rogue. Turned the fucking switch. And then you kind of go up. Because I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You kind of go up into Belgians.
Yep.
All that kind of shit. And then you kind of crush the Russian Imperial Stouts
you
and all that.
You get into the crazy zone that the beer doesn't even make sense
but
anymore. Drop right back down to reality after that.
And I never got the IPA. Never cared about the IPA. Ever. And I don't know why. It was too bitter. It was just the flavors didn't agree with me. But then I started really liking it, and then I realized, fuck, I'm drinking too much. I need to back off on how much I'm drinking, but I don't want to stop. So I kind of gravitated towards like our friends at Eagle Rock make Solidarity, their Black Mouth. I love that beer.
Oh man,
love that
one
beer
of the more
so
underrated
much.
Brewery. Well, one of the most underrated beers in this state. I mean,
totally.
Illiterate.
And they just had to drop it down to seasonal because nobody was buying. He goes, brewers would come in.
It's
great.
And it's not an easy beer to pull off either.
No,
like,
not
that
at all.
It's a complex
beer. And so they were telling me, they're like, the brewers come in, other brewers come in and drink this nonstop.
Yeah.
But we need to make more populace. We need to make more IPA.
Yeah.
Because that's what people are, I would say, unfortunately, if I wasn't hosting. But that's what people are buying. Yeah. And I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it's terrible. Sometimes I do just because I like, stirring the pot. But it's a delicious beer. It's a really good beer. And it's not as aggressive as a lot of other IPAs that I've had, too.
Well, that's one thing I noticed, especially when we were at the infancy of modern times and people were trying to figure out who we were, what we were, and all that. And the one thing I got from a lot of customers was they were coming in and going, I don't like IPA, but I like yours, which was weird to me because I'm sitting there going,
yeah,
we're just making good beer. Like, it's not. And I realized, like, oh, man, like, it's resonating that it's people say constantly, I don't like IPA or I don't like hoppy beer. What they're saying is, I don't like overly bitter beer. And that, I think, is something that is lost in translation when talking about beer. And that's something that, you know, it's funny. We have a beer we call Misfit Stream IPA, which is supposed to be our super bitter West Coast style IPA. We still can't make it bitter because I keep adding more hops into the bowl every time. And I'm sitting there going, like, one of these days it's going to be really bitter. It's still not. It's still
super
crushable. It's like,
why is that? What are you doing?
Because I'm just real light-handed on bittering side. Okay. I'm sorry, I keep going away from that.
Okay.
But it's not in me to be like, let's bitter the shit out of this IPA and let's blow palates apart.
It's not like you just discovered hops.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
you're further along the bell curve, and I think you're trying to get customers to be the same place.
I'm brewing what I want to drink and hoping people catch on and think.
That's why you have different breweries, and you can align with those that, the beers that you like.
Yeah, and we're just not running at it with handfuls of hops like we're trying to make a fucking Jackson Pollock.
That's a no-brainer.
Throwing stuff.
Like, right.
There's a methodology to it, and there's reason behind how we do everything.
Let me ask Mark. Mark, you're the sales guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you finding people are aligning with this weird way of not really you just kind of brewing whatever they want to do?
You know, absolutely. I mean, the one thing that I notice, same thing that, Alex just was commenting on, is they'll taste our IPA. And mm-hmm. like, you know, I normally don't drink IPAs, but I love your IPAs because they're not so hoppy. And I'm like,
yeah,
actually, that's not the case. They're actually extremely hoppy.
Yeah.
They're just not bitter, you know, and they're like, oh. Because, you know, they don't, you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, what hops do to a beer, how they're flavored, you know. So, but you know, they create bitterness, flavor, aromatics, all that. But
there is a differentiation that a lot of people don't get. That's hoppy bitter.
Yeah.
They are different. They are different terms.
Hop flavor
for sure.
versus hop bitterness.
And yeah, exactly.
You guys are very focused on the hop flavor side.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it's...
Hey, Mark, get closer to your microphone.
Can you hear me?
You can move it
yeah,
up.
You're
just,
good.
Hey, just pretend it's a penis.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, thanks.
See,
Alex.
Now we can all hear better. Thank you.
There goes his mother. She's
hey,
right.
Yeah. Whatever works.
The show just got really interesting.
You guys are going to have to swap
is
out
Aaron
that phone cover,
tonight?
But yeah.
Anyway. So, no, I mean, but, you know, that's what I, you know, what I get,
yeah.
the feedback that I get mm-hmm. from not only, the accounts and the customers and regulars from the accounts, but they do, you know, they recognize that. They're starting to, like, oh, I get it now. And they also get, like, the rotating thing that we're doing. What Alex and crew is doing with, you know, changing the hop profile and whatnot, it's not like, you know, initially they were like, we need to see like a core beer.
Yeah.
But now seeing the rotating IPA, rotating pale, rotating double IPA, you know, the customer loves it, the account loves it, and they appreciate that, the ingredients that the brew staff is using and tweaking it. But, you know, like every, you know, I would say every IPA, you know, every beer tastes like a fieldwork beer, but especially like, let's say, you know, it's one of our, you know, IPA, you know, rotating accounts. Every IPA tastes like a fieldwork beer.
Yeah, you can.
And they can expect that, you know, but it's going to be tweaked a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that core flavor, but it's not going to be the same beer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And quality. Every fieldwork beer that hits these faucets.
Absolutely.
It's really good.
Well, and that's what we were talking about at
so
the
if
break.
If you're rotating within a category of like IPA or pale ale,
absolutely.
The publicans, the people that order the beer, know that it's going to be good. That's what's unique about mm-hmm. fieldwork is every beer they make, so a lot like other regional breweries around here, I can
yeah.
mention, you know,
well, it is unique.
Faction Stonemaker.
Barry, Mark, and I were talking at the break about the key to success. You guys have been around since 2015, last year.
It's like last year.
right? Yeah. A year and a half, a year ago. Whatever,
remember,
right?
They're on like accelerated plan.
That's like 800 years ago.
Right, in beer terms, right. But, you are this accelerated thing. We were talking, everybody in the East Bay that I talk to about beer, they're mentioning your name. And that doesn't happen a lot for a brand new brewery. Maybe it's you're brand new, but I don't think so. I think it's more of what you guys are making.
It's an adjective. I see it's like a field work beer.
We dump a lot of beer for that to happen, though.
I can imagine, right? But I think it's the attention to detail.
Yeah.
Kind of like Mark saying, I'm just putting words in your mouth. And then kind of what these guys are doing on the beer house side, kind of not having a core brand.
Yeah,
and changing it up for people, because what people want to do, I'm sorry to totally cut you off, but I don't care. No. I think people want to be surprised, and I think people don't want to get, I have this brewery that makes these, eight beers, of three of which I really like, and then that's what I know, and this is kind of my thing. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think a lot of people are used to things changing and beers changing, and I think that's cool that they can attach themselves to a brand, to a brewery that does that.
Yeah.
That does the same thing. You don't have to go anywhere else.
But this goes back to why I'm saying I have the best staff in the country. Because my staff can make that happen. There's not, and I'm not being funny, I'm not exaggerating. I don't know that many brew staffs that can walk in every day of the week, pick up a piece of paper, run onto the brew house, not know how much water to use, not know how much, and to figure it out just because you've brewed so much on the system, you have the feel for it, you've got it in your feet. That's the only way I could describe it. When you're a really good brewer, you brew with your feet. You feel the vibration of the pump in your feet. You just know how to make beer. And my staff knows how to run our system. They know how to make beer. They know how to adapt to every change of every recipe, of every day, of every change in weather. Like, they know how to adapt every day. And if you don't have a staff like that, you can't pull this off.
No, you can't control variability. A staff that can make the beer consistently the same way every time, recipe doesn't matter.
Wait, we've never made the same beer.
Well, he means with the quality, like the quality of process.
You guys use the same process every time. So
when
you come up with a recipe, you kind of know what it's going to be.
Oh, totally. You just can't do that without an amazing staff. Like, that won't work. And I think it's the future of beer is this dynamic lineup.
Yeah.
But I think that's also going to be, I hope, my background's in HR before I was in brewing.
You look like an HR guy.
Yeah, it sounds like it, the way you talk to Mark there. you sound like super aligned with proper procedure.
my old saying was, what are you going to do, complain to me? So
that's true. That's a good point.
But no, I mean, it takes some talent to pull that off. And I'm just very, 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 very grateful that I have the staff I have.
Mm-hmm.
And not even just brewing side, also in my cellar, even down to like my damn keg washer right now. Like, the dude's got he's got a broken collarbone and he's like throwing kegs up, washing them with one hand. Like, dude's a beast. He's awesome.
Wow.
And there's...
Tasty, your collar's broken? Your collarbone's broken? Wasn't you?
I didn't do it.
Wait, I've never seen Tasty lift a keg of field work ever.
Yeah.
Sixtel.
Those damn Sixtel.
I walk out with that all by myself.
You do walk out
with
that.
Although usually I ask one of the guys to, like, here's my keys.
True. You're a diva.
I've done it
before.
You're
a diva that way.
I bring the empties in.
Hey, don't badmouth divas. We're not all that bad. I'm a self-proclaimed diva. I take my little dog with me everywhere I go. I'm the worst.
Oh, man. You sound kind of terrible.
You are almost the worst.
I know. I almost fought to bring my dog in here tonight.
No.
I'll go anywhere without him. It's
I wouldn't
so weird.
Have let, yeah, I would have been like, no. There's no way.
I don't know if anyone's seen that Instagram post that Alex had of Hugo eating out of the travel bag.
Oh, God.
It was super creepy. Yeah. He looked like a really pussy version of that monster in Return of the Jedi. Was it the Sarlacc or whatever? That big pit that eats...
Sarlacc pit.
Oh, yeah, the Sarlacc pit. There you go. He's just inside of his carrier just eating bacon through the hole.
Anyway, it's Misfit Stream.
Yeah.
So
shut your. Never mind.
Alex is the Paris Hilton of.
I kind of am. No, this
that's
thing is
hot.
I'm.
That's a catchphrase. I don't know.
I think I'm more the Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's just, if I go out, I need my dog with me, usually. Like, he goes
kind of Emerson, everywhere. Emerson, I see it.
Yeah, I think it's a fair...
Yeah.
I sit in my house and try and avoid all human beings at all costs.
Right, and paying taxes.
Well, if only.
Didn't he go to jail for not paying taxes or some shit?
Unfortunately, we have to pay a lot of taxes.
Yeah. That's Thoreau. You're thinking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was thinking,
all right.
Oh, no,
all
I was thinking Henry David Thoreau either way. So that's what I was thinking.
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Yeah.
Oh, he was in this book.
He had the striped shirt. Thoreau, and I said.
And the glasses Emerson. And the cane. You had to find him in the books.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that guy. Fucking love that guy.
He's the worst. All right, so next beer.
Let's talk about your beer, dude.
All right, what's the next one? Is that Tundra?
I think so. Tastes like Tundra, I'll tell you that.
No, at this point.
Tastes like a double IPA, right? Is that what it's supposed
to be? It's a triple IPA.
So. Triple IPA. Well, see, it tastes like a double, so. You don't know what beer it is.
No,
We were like, fuck, dude,
well,
I can't
well,
tell.
Thank God
I can't
we
tell
finally got
beer.
Tasters bigger than a fucking Splooge Splash, because those tasters earlier were bullshit.
Yeah, that's Kevin.
Yeah, that was...
We're making fun of your tasters. But we send Bev out. Well, Bev goes out to get tasters for everybody.
Happy
and she
birthday,
comes
Bev.
Back with, like, maybe a half ounce in each
his defense,
terrible tulip glass.
I didn't
glass.
Say tasters. I didn't say I wanted full pours.
Yeah, but it's not like the first time that this show has ever had tasters.
Yeah.
We sell beer here, too, you know.
Hey, the BN buys it. It's fine. Give everybody fucking liters. I don't care.
All right, on that note, can we have liters of shower beer? Tundra. This is a triple IPA.
It's a triple IPA.
Yeah.
I think you're a liar.
No, but that's the goal of it.
Yeah.
So, I had sworn up and down I'd never make a triple IPA because I hate triple IPAs. I think they're all cloyingly sweet and kind of disjointed. And
like this one.
You're such
I'm totally joking. Oh I'm totally God. Kidding. I'm fucking with you. I really am.
Yeah, I was going to tell you to shut your cock holster right now. That's the whole point I just find most of them to be overly sweet. And I took it as kind of a challenge. Like, let's make one that drinks much smaller. So this is 11%.
Wow.
Yeah. And the idea was like, let's make one that's not cloying. That's not just... I don't want to talk shit because I'm sure there are good ones out there. I don't order them. So all my friend breweries, I'm sorry. I probably haven't had yours.
You haven't tried.
But the ones
evil
I've
three.
Had were.
You haven't tried Evil 3 yet, evidently.
No, I definitely haven't. I've wanted to. Well, you did
Nobody
have
else
Mitch
has
Steel,
either,
right?
So.
Yeah.
And Heretic.
All right. I mean, it's you, Jamil, and Mitch. It's going to be a good fucking beer. Sure. Like, there's... Oh, my God. Tasty looks so... Tasty looks like borderline upset at me right now. Like...
What?
Like, he's like, yeah, sure. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I've never made a gold medal winning triple.
Yeah.
I forget we're on the podcast. I feel like we're just, like, hanging out. Talking.
Yeah, I didn't want to go eat there. Whatever. Fine. No, yeah, I'll get Chinese food. Whatever. Thanks, Tasty.
So how do you dry this beer out?
A lot of simple sugars and low temperatures. So
low fermentation temperature.
Yeah. So a lot. There's no character malt at all. It's just our super bland Pilsner malt. It is a ton of simple sugar. And we ferment. There's a couple little things.
What was that pause there?
Yeah,
you were telling Jason to zip
the fuck
his
up.
Mouth.
And then
you have secrets with this beer. Which is fine. You don't have to give
up.
Yeah,
kind of. I don't. You
but
know.
I like. I mean, I
there
like.
Could be a secret ingredient, but he's not mentioning it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the reality. I tell everybody. I'm like. I would think. See, you're not allowed to make claims anymore because, like, this day and age, people get so pissy when you do. I remember.
So corporate.
Yeah, I know. Well,
HR, dude.
I would think it's one of the drier triple IPAs in the country. It finishes at about 1.7 Plato, maybe 1. This batch, I think, was 1.8, 1.9 Plato.
That's good for a triple. Wow, good for you.
Yeah, but normally it finishes at 1.7 Plato. Actually, shit. No, a little lower than that, even. Our first batch finished at, like, 1.6, 1.5. So, I told it, like, I think it's probably the driest triple IPA on the market. And that's the goal of it, though, is to not be, like, to be super dry, super drinkable. Hop profile is essentially meant to be, tastes like just macerated honeydew. It should be like honeydew juice, which goes back to keeping it kind of drinkable. If it was... piney or dank or harsh, I think it'd be harder to drink.
Or higher alcohols, but it's really, really sweet. It's really nice. It has the alcohol.
Yeah,
really
at 11%, I don't think you can
that's
detect
11?
Much.
Wow.
So we start fermenting really low. and then we let it ramp up. But we let it ramp hard so that it does dry it all the way out. But, you know, most of those simple sugars are already eaten before the esters are produced. So at that low temperature,
and you,
so
we're limit, getting, you have lower esters because you ferment cooler.
Exactly. But by the time it's really rockness eating that maltose, it's up there. And we let, I mean, so it gets up into the 70s for sure. For fermentation temperature, but it starts in the low 60s.
What's a smaller part of the ferment? So anything that would be bad on that side is negligible compared to all the goodness you
just exactly. Get. Just trying to keep, I mean, trying to keep fusels down is the main thing.
You did a great job. So clean.
I have a question from the chat room.
Uh-oh.
This is from Shoe Brew. He says, what are the characteristics of the Motueka hops? Have they done a smash to determine the character?
Okay, so... Jason's making fun of me right now going, you love that hop, right? I hate Motueka because it's a hard hop to use. It is a really hard hop to use.
Why?
I will get to that. No, okay. So we are doing our first Motueka single hop. We're going to make in about a month. It's out there. We're going to do another light lager like this, but with Motueka. So I like it because it's, as far as hops go, it's one of the limiest hops I've had.
Limey.
Okay. It's also got this nice lemongrass note.
It spells flavor with a U kind of thing, that limey? Okay.
Exactly, that kind of limey. It's from, its parents are from Leeds. Okay. So, but it's an interesting hop because it's a low alpha. It's dry hop. It's kind of hard to use. And I was asking Tim from Cellar Maker recently. I was like, dude, I'd struggled with that hop in the past, and I find it to be great on hot side. Do not like it cold side at all. And I was asking Tim from Cellar Maker, and he uses... Ah, shit, I shouldn't tell him. I can't air other people's tricks, can I? That's kind of a dick move.
You can. Dude, telling me you're able to. You're totally able to.
Oh. I drop Vinny all the time on here. Whatever he's doing, I tell people.
No, but every salesperson in Northern California drops Vinny on everything.
Oh,
open a brewery, man, and every single person will come to you and be like, well, Vinny uses this. And you're supposed to just bite on it instantly. Well, Vinny does this with this. Okay, dude.
All right.
I guess I have to buy this now.
Give me somebody else that does something. Come on.
All right, I know. But yeah, so.
Vinny breathes through his nose, too.
Yeah.
Fine. What's Cellar Maker doing that?
They told me they kind of agree that it's tricky to use. And they use about, I want to say Tim said, about 20-25% more than they normally would with another hop with that. Yeah. And that actually makes sense to me because it's hard cold side to get character from.
To balance that out.
Yeah, but
so they'll use more.
Get more to just.
Got it.
But Cellar Maker, man, those dudes are savages. They're not scared of. They don't worry about yield. They don't worry about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, man. I love listening to Tim talk about beer because I'm sitting there like. You're calling me a hippie. That dude's a fucking free spirit. That dude's a free spirit with beer,
he's a,
man.
He's a vigilante. He's a cowboy.
He's a cowboy.
He's a vigilante.
Yeah.
There's no limits with him.
I just love it. Yeah, because, I mean, he doesn't...
You should do a collaboration. Call it fucking vigilante. I get 10% of that profit, Barry. I get 10% of the profits of that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That door is closed.
Fuck. Open it up.
You still get hugs,
though.
Good.
That's cool.
But yeah, so, but I learned my experience. I like Motueka a lot more hot side.
Okay.
So we with our beers with Motueka, we load up hot side to get all the lime character we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then typically zero dry hop. We'll dry hop with something else. And then we use the lime in that hot side to be a component of the greater picture, which is...
Okay.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally.
Flavor, yeah. That flavor carries profile. Over, yeah. And then you accentuate that with the dry hop.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Appropriate answer.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think we're done here.
Oh, cool.
I think that's it. No more questions? Do you have another question?
No, I am out of questions.
You got to pee, but you're full of pee.
Yes.
I'm pretty full of pee, too.
Well, guys, I appreciate you guys coming in and taking the time and bringing some good beers. Half the questions I had, we didn't even get to because of fucking windbag over here. But
well, come on. Give us one.
I can't. Because I really didn't have any. I was pretending that I was a better interviewer. You called me out.
We found you out.
This guy's ruthless. This guy's ruthless, man. No, seriously, though, I appreciate you guys coming in. The beers are tasting great. And I will say that I'm not going to hate so much on the turbid, cloudy bullshit now because I talked to you guys.
You got to judge every beer on its own merit.
Yeah, and we'll start doing more science about it.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I think we demand it.
It's that turbidity effect.
And we want you on the blindfolded tasting panel.
In all honesty, I would love to do that because I want to be proven wrong. Everyone else tells me I'm wrong. I might as well find out for myself.
I don't know that you're wrong.
But you're just not right.
But it's craft. That's what's fun.
Yeah.
Right? Just keep keeping on.
That's true. That's true. All right, guys. Field work. Next time you guys are in Berkeley or Sacramento, do me a favor. When's the Sacramento joint opening up? When's the Napa joint opening up?
Sacramento's open and having fun with that. And Napa opens in mid-October.
Awesome.
What's the address in Sacramento?
Oh, thank you, Tasty.
Well, I'm going to be by there this week.
1805 Capitol Avenue.
Let me type that in.
1805 Capitol Avenue.
Is that no, Tasty, pick...
1805 Capitol Avenue. It's Tasty, three times is what...
I got it now, 1805.
Tasty, that's your hand. That's
I'm
going to
be
phone.
Able to tell my Uber guy that. 1805 Capitol.
My Uber guy. He has a guy for
How
everything.
How far is that from the Capitol Mall where the beer fest is?
The Craft Beer Summit.
It's really close.
It is. I could walk from your place to there.
Tasty, I hope you can walk.
If you can walk, it's up for debate.
I'm not sure.
I can walk it.
With that bad hip of yours, who knows?
Okay,
you can definitely walk it, Tasty. There's some others among us who might have problems. Right. But
well, I'm going to be out.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
be
great.
Out several times during the Craft Beer Summit.
The Craft Beer Summit.
Starting
you going to be in town?
I'll be there tomorrow. Mm. No, Wednesday.
That doesn't
Wednesday.
Work for him.
I think I get into town Thursday. I was going to make that my first stop.
It should be your first stop.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
always.
Yeah. Not the hotel.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. We're going to take a break. You guys are more than welcome to hang out. And, you know, we're not really going to do anything extra. Why won't this fucking start,
dude?
We got the
Twitter game and that stuff coming up later after the break, right?
Yeah, but now my stupid friggin' thing isn't working.
Can't go to break, huh? All right.
Get off your knees or blowing the radio show.
What the fuck is going on? I fucking hate radio. I'm over it. I don't want to do it anymore. Clear the thing. Bring on the thing. Start the thing. There we go. All right, everybody. It's the session. We'll be right back. We're going to do the Twitter game. We're going to give away a catalyst. And then we're going to see how drunk Bev is. Hang on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers 4 levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness. It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. The end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah.
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's. in Novato. They're friggin' awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers!
Boom!
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops, and now comes in four-pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, there are amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the brewingnetwork.com. Army, have you heard the latest at Hop Tech? Since Hop Tech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at HopTech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn the cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at HereticBrewing.com.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
All right, thanks for hanging out, everybody. It's our last segment, our last break here. But before we get into that, I do want to tell you guys about our good friends at AdamandEve.com. AdamandEve.com, that's right, our close personal friends. You know, I saw a TV commercial, my very first Adam and Eve TV commercial, and they're talking about that exclusive gift, and I'm like...
Me too. I couldn't wait till they got into that.
I know what that is. Yeah, and then they didn't do it, right? Yeah. And I know that we're actually playing this in the bar, so I'm a little nervous about talking about our free gift.
Well, we'll skip the old, you know, double dildo shit.
I don't know, man. Anyway, go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive three free adult DVDs, plus a free exclusive gift. And to top it all off, they will even throw in free shipping on your entire order.
Yeah. Think about that.
Free shipping.
You can find their most expensive item, get it for half price.
Half off.
And have it shipped to you free, plus
all this other stuff. It's great.
So this is the exclusive gift for those of you who are into exclusivity and gifts and the combination therein.
What is it?
It's called the... I don't know. See, I feel uncomfortable. It's called the clit bumper. Okay, let's just say it.
Clits are good.
Everyone has... Well, not everyone has one. Most people have
half
one.
Half of the party... Half the deal does, right?
Yeah. So, you know... Let's just say what it is. I don't know what it is. I've never seen it before. I saw a drawing of it once, but it was just a fava bean. So I don't know what it is.
Right.
But anyway, it's the clit bumper is the ideal pleasure ring for couples. He will love the way the love ring lets him stay harder for longer. Everybody in the bar, in
whoa,
case you can't hear
that's
that.
That's a plus.
Right? Who doesn't want to
do
that?
Well, really, just get out of here. We're late for dinner.
Oh, God. For me, it's like, okay, we got the 30-second commercial break.
Yeah.
Taryn, let's do this.
Anyway, if you want to go longer.
It increases, if you want to do that, if it's a young man's game, but if you want to do it, it increases the strength. Look, maybe you're like Doc and you're dating like 30 years, you know, below you.
Exactly. You might want a little more like,
more thing. Sure. She'll love the way the pleasure nubs do things. It's soft and stretchy.
Oh, it's got nubs. I didn't know that.
It's got nubs, dude. Premium silicone. It's compatible with all water-based lubrication. AdamandEve.com and use code BNARMY at checkout. That's BNARMY. At AdamandEve.com, use that code at the checkout. Get the 50% off. Get all that kind of stuff. Get the free shipping.
We are so much better than that TV commercial.
We really are,
we
dude.
We kill it.
We really are. Okay, so
what's their coupon code?
What's our coupon code?
No, theirs.
Oh God, I forget what it is.
Yeah,
it's something dumb.
It's boring.
Yeah, it is boring. Anyway, you don't want to support the TV station. You want to support us. So we've talked about the catalyst before, and that is the prize our Twitter game. And our Twitter game was the Brewing Network, more like blank. Yeah. And so apparently we got kind of a lot of responses. People were stoked about it. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that they just want the catalyst. In case you guys don't know what the catalyst is, it's made from plastic. It's a conical. It's over 90% more scratch resistant than other plastic conicals and 71% less oxygen permeable. It has a low-profile design. It allows it to fit snugly in your fridge or right on your countertop. Cleaning is a breeze. That entire lid snaps off, so you can be sure to get all those crusties and yeasties off the side. And perhaps the best part is that giant 3-inch butterfly valve at the bottom.
Yeah,
you can attach. Yeah, you can attach any size mason jar at the bottom for yeast collection during fermentation. Craftbrew.com. Okay. Twitter game. James M. says, the Brewing Network, more like JP Hates Homebrew Network.
What?
Okay. Yeah. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Bev forgot to include the name on this one. They go, the Brewing Network, more like a weekly low hug.
Oh, whoa, that's loud. My microphone was turned up really high in my ears, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I can look that up.
That's okay. And we'll see if it wins.
Okay.
Low hug, okay, yeah. I get the inference.
Yeah, Joe Risen says, the Brewing Network, more like Justin's former employer. I kind of like that one. Conrad B. says, the Brewing Network, more like the next million-dollar craft beer play by Miller Coors.
I hope so.
I fucking hope so. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I think he'd throw me a boner, too, wouldn't he, Justin?
I don't know. Yeah, I was just going to say,
really?
How much do you think we would get?
I'll just start contracting directly with Miller Coors.
Right, and we negotiate it on behalf of the Brewing Network. Because Jay's not going to care. He's always said, for $100, I'll stop doing this.
He may already have. We just don't know it.
Right. So I think that's the move. I think you and I tag team Miller Coors.
Whoa, really?
Right? Yes.
I'm not hearing this. Maybe we should.
This is during the break
on the DL.
This is on the DL. Yeah.
Right.
And then we approach Jay and be like, "Here's $50,000. Sell it to us, and then he sells it to us, and then we just sign it right over. We get millions of dollars, and we totally bone him
much
for
beer
50
money
G.
he needs, and then that'll be the price.
$50,000.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, that's all. I mean, he would sell this place for $50,000, no doubt.
Yeah. Then we'll.
But knowing us, we wouldn't take $50,000. We need nils.
Yes.
We need more zeros than that shit. But he wouldn't. So I think we can work him on this.
I think we could play against him. I mean, because what if all of a sudden we go like, well, then we're out of here.
Then we're gone. Yeah. Just bleed.
That's leverage, bro.
Oh, man. For sure, right?
We're doing this show together. I think it's a good chance that we got a little quality time together here and talk about this.
We don't get that very
business
often.
Business opportunity.
Yeah. I think it'd be good. I think my number would be $5 million.
Well, yeah, it is the Brewing Network.
It's not the Brewing Network.
You know, the Brewing like,
our,
Circle.
Yeah, our, right. It's a circle. Our numbers are pretty good. Our listeners are pretty good. We have some high-quality sponsors.
It would just make it so much better.
I totally would. Well, it would be off the air, and we wouldn't have to do this anymore. Exactly. So if we sold it for
quality time to do nothing.
Right, to do nothing. Start another stupid podcast.
Almost like we're doing now, really.
Yeah, whatever. We're just bullshitting. I think if we sold for $5 million, how much do you think he would give us? Like, just you and me, not like a satellite. Like, it's not like Doc or Warren or whatever, but like you, me, and Bev. Yeah. Because we've been here the longest.
I don't know. I think wouldn't be like
Doc has been
maybe
longer than me.
Maybe 10% of each.
10% of that?
Each.
What's 10% of $5 million?
I don't know. It's a lot of money.
Enough.
It's not enough.
It's enough.
Oh, okay.
She's from fucking Pinole.
What does she know?
There's plenty of money there.
Blake Russell writes in, he says, the Brewing Network, more like, why the hell am I still listening to this shit work?
What?
I like that.
That's
too.
Insulting.
It is insulting, but I like it. Chris Makes Beer says, more like poison-stirring loners. I don't get it. I don't get it, but, you know, I like he calls us loners. I think that's cool.
We're doing this because we've got
really
nothing else to do.
Nobody uses the word loner anymore as a negative. Now it's a positive. Like, I'm a loner. I'm a lone wolf. But, you know, when you're in middle school, you call her a loner. That's the worst, man. You'll piss yourself out of fear of being called a loner. Colorado JBS says, more like, don't brew, barely work. That's true. I barely don't brew. Or I don't barely brew. Mark Wilson says, more like an excuse for free beer that escalated way too far to back out now. Kind of like Beardy's marriage.
What?
Shot across Beardy's marriage bow.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Which, and by the way, that's $500,000.
Oh, yeah. I'd take 500 G's.
Me too.
For show. For show.
All right. Better price.
Chris Beer says, the Feelings Network. I like that. Justin says, the Brewing Network, more like shit.
That one made me laugh out loud.
I like that, too. William says, the Brewing Network, more like the network willing to sell at the first offer and create the Bevo double-wide trailer park / Burning Man life.
$500,000, you could do that.
You could totally do that. Are you kidding
me? Dude, I could have a triple-wide.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's not get too... Would that be upstairs?
Well, it's more
that
about
be
how good the neighbors
up?
Are.
In Clear Lake. Yeah. It'd be in Clear Lake.
Okay.
It'd be lakefront, but it'd be methy.
You wouldn't be working, so you wouldn't need a job. There's no jobs in Clear Lake.
That's right.
There's meth in Clear Lake.
Joel Bateman says, more like fucking Toto-hating grief job enthusiasts. Tears for Toto.
Oh,
and then he hashtags RIP Tasty.
What?
I included the hashtag on purpose.
You have to at that point.
Every show has one of those.
Every show has one of those. Brian says, more like the Chechnya Information Network.
Ooh.
In Chechnya, we have only one network. We share with Ox Riding Network. And then finally, Matt Lane says, more like Caused My Alcoholism Network. And that kind of hits too close to home.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that, bro.
Yeah, man. That's... I'm sorry. Dude, I'm really sorry about your...
Yeah, maybe we should preach more, modernization of alcohol on our show instead of
more like
fucking drunk every time.
Monetization? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we probably should, but whatever. It's fine. So let me take off the people who I don't like.
But me? This is stuff that he does... usually when he's not the
when I'm not
board.
The host. Right, exactly.
He's filtering my filter.
I'm filtering the filter of the filter.
Thanks, yes. Bebo, for picking up the slack there.
Yeah, I appreciate
doing so much extra work tonight. And happy birthday one more time.
Thank you.
How are the how's the taco cake thing going back there?
I actually didn't.
Did you get enough wine?
Oh, my can of wine is gone.
Uber, it's an overnight?
Is she gone. But the taco nachos I'm going to save for later because I ate a bunch of Indian food right before the show. So. Yeah.
And I forgot to tell you to not... You're like, what do I want to eat? And I'm like, I didn't want to say don't go eat food because that would look weird because it's supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah,
but.
And it was
I
a surprise.
It's so nice. And I'm going to take it home and I'll enjoy it at a different time.
I think you should.
But I tasted it and it's delicious.
And they are tachos.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Tachos.
You don't even know.
I know, but I can
guess. I
shared
with Kevin, but I'm only sharing with Kevin.
I wish I hope I better have some waiting for me at home.
Ooh,
Karen brought several
side.
Bowls, and I'm like,
Well, really, those are bowls left over from our wedding. The bamboo, like, the decomposable bowls.
The fancy bowls.
So she's really just trying to off, a lot of this our crap on
declutter.
You. Yeah,
I'm
right?
I'm fine with that. It's fine.
Okay, so here's what I have for the Twitter game. I have Blake Russell, who's saying more like, why the hell am I still listening to this shit work? Justin, who just says shit. I'm assuming that's in response to the Twitter game. William, who says the network willing to sell at the first offer. Brian, who says the more like Chechnya Information Network. Chechnya. And then Matt Lane says more like Cause My Alcoholism Network. I think those are the ones that we kind of...
Yeah, I laugh more about most all those.
Yeah. So which one's your favorite?
I really like shit.
I like shit work.
The shit,
shit
work?
By itself?
Yeah. No, for
the
shit work.
Oh, yeah, shit work.
The shit work? Let's make it... Okay.
Yeah.
Blake
That's
Russell.
True.
There you go, buddy. You win, buddy. Blake Russell. We will tweet to him and tell him to... email Bev at B-E-E...
V...
At the brewing.
And he'll be getting a...
He'll be getting the catalyst from craftabrew.com.
Well, should he email
Excellent
me or should
device.
He email you?
He should email me at jp at thebrewingnetwork.com.
Yes.
And then I will put you guys in touch with the Catalyst folks over there at Craft a Brew, and we'll get you hooked up, dude. I'm excited. I'm excited for you. I think this thing's pretty cool. I have one. I've played around with it. I think it's awesome. It's really, really sturdy. It's really well done.
Cool.
Okay, let me look at my deal. And what else do we have on my list of things to do? We did this. We did this. We did this. Okay, we're done. We're tasty. We're done.
We're done.
We done.
So after it says break, Twitter game, and then it says go the fuck home. And I think that we're at that moment right now.
All
right. Where we go the fuck home.
3 hours. Good job.
We did pretty good, right?
It's a good show.
I had fun, man. The fieldwork dudes are pretty cool.
The guys were great. They're friends of mine.
He was so nervous about the show.
I really was, and I was telling Barry and Mark at the break. I was like, Barry and Alex, the whole cloudy beer thing. Not that their beer is all cloudy, but I was telling Barry, I was like, look, not all your beer is this way. So I don't know why I'm spending so much time talking about it. But I'm fascinated by the trend in the brewing world. I'm fascinated by people are really into it, and I
want to know about it.
I want to know why more than anything. Yeah, and I do talk a lot of shit about it. I'm not backtracking on it at all. I still stand up to it, but I think that it's cool, and I think what they changed my mind on a little bit is that look, people are into it. People like the flavor, and they're looking for it. And
right.
And is that necessarily a bad thing? No,
I guess not.
Right?
We're in transition. We're just looking at spot on the timeline here. We'll see what happens in a few months, a few years, whatever.
Yeah, it'd be interesting this time next year to take a snapshot
and see where we're at. See where it all ends up.
But I would love to do that tasting that Barry was talking about, the cloudy versus uncloudy, or the hazy versus unhazy,
the
or whatever. The blindfolded deal. Because I think in my mind I could be able to tell the difference, but it probably in practice I probably wouldn't be able to tell. Or I might like the hazy one better. I don't know.
It's good to know.
Yeah, right.
We should find it out.
We should find it out.
Like, I don't want to be like an alive... in front of a bunch of people, I should know that.
Oh, yeah, like on a stage or whatever? It would be a private event.
Very private, I'm thinking, right? Like,
We could sell, let's sell tickets to it, Tasty.
Especially
it'd be you
if,
and
like,
me,
you
and
like
we'll sell
better.
Tickets for $100.
Tell them, and then people will know.
Yeah,
we don't want to be surprised, like, down the road that we actually do like the hazy beers better.
But I think people would be. I think there's those weirdos, the loners out there who would pay $100
to be the
$100. You come and watch.
See if we can figure it out.
Yeah, come watch two idiots taste beer. Like people would do that, right?
I don't know. All right.
Fuck it. Let's do it tomorrow.
We'll do a. Oh no, we'll do it.
You're ridiculous.
I have ideas. But yes.
Okay.
We'll do something
off
like
air
that.
Ideas.
Something like that. Off air ideas.
All right. Let me make sure I got all my things. Okay. I'm going to try to do the plugs here.
Next week we have Macro Bassari.
Brasserie.
Sure.
Yeah.
A brasserie.
Yes, dude. Macro Brasserie.
Le Castor.
Micro Brasserie is just French for. Microbrewery, I guess.
Yeah,
but Le Castor, man. So I tell you what, Blobber turned me on to these dudes. They make a bunch of saisons and whatever, but they use a lot of Brett.
Oh.
They're like a Brett heavy kind of brewery.
Cool.
And the beer is fantastic.
Ooh.
I got a bottle of their saison, their Brett saison, in November, and I opened it like in April, and it fucking floored me. Like I emailed
the guy the next day. Are we going to have some to try? Like,
yeah.
Oh, good.
They actually have to email him tomorrow and make sure that he's sending a bunch of beer in.
Well.
But it, and he said
it's
he would.
Beer.
It floored me, dude. And I don't get, look, I don't like a lot of things. I don't get floored by much anymore. I was floored by this beer. It was phenomenal. So I really can't wait to talk to him. It's
so many of our listeners travel really cool. in Europe. It'd be great for them to know.
Yeah. I'm stoked. I'm stoked about it. All right, here we go. We're going to leave. Tasty looks. Thanks.
Wait a minute. Did we establish a Kickstarter for our funding for our buying Justin out?
Well, we got to talk about that.
Okay,
we got to talk about the details because we have to make a video. We got to do this whole thing, but we should try.
Yeah, we'll just be burning Justin an effigy or something. Like, who needs this guy?
I don't know, man. But
look up Kickstarter Low Hug on the Down Low.
That's the Low Hug Network.
That's the code name. All right, Tasty. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks. Pleasure being.
You know, it was you and me, baby. Skeleton crew. And Bev, of course. Bev was here on her birthday.
I'm here.
Look at the birthday party.
Birthday.
Right?
I did get a birthday party. I got to hang out with my friends and have a can of wine.
Can of wine.
Yeah.
That can of wine was rad.
It was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Underwood. It's good. They have a make a white that's pretty good. Okay. I'm going to stop. Let's get out of here.
Let's just do the
thing. You know what?
Yeah. I don't want to do the plugs. Look, everybody, go to Field Work. They're in Sacramento. They're soon to be in Napa at the Oxbow Market there. And, of course, they're in Berkeley, right around the corner from Gilman Street. Mike McDowell's on Tasty. Here, I'll just do this. Here, fuck it.
Who cares?
Oh my God.
Mike McDowell is on Twitter at Tasty McD. I'm on Twitter at Major Jip.
I'm on Twitter.
What's your Twitter deal?
Bevo2,
of course, because Bevo1 is
so dirty.
It was taken.
Right. Warren is over on there on another beardy, but fuck that guy. Tasty, you're going to be at the St. Louis Hops Home Brewing Club meeting at Perennial Ales.
It's coming up next week, I think.
The 13th at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Justin is traveling to Norway to attend the What's Brewing Festival in Stavanger.
I may do a cameo there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's weird.
I hope you do, man. October 20th to the 23rd. I would totally go, but he and I had a long conversation, but I was like, I can't do it. I don't think I'm ready. I've taken some classes. I don't think I'm ready to do it.
But
I really fucking want
to. Someday you will.
Yeah. So if you're up for the Trek, shoot up there and join him. Head to whatsbrewing.no for more. Today's show is produced by Beverly, and your host has been JP. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks a lot for tuning in, everyone. We'll see you next week. JP does great as his cherry.